Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the Monroe City Council meeting for November 17th, 2015. The time right now is approximately 7:03 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Cuddaback, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Garrett.
Thank you. And we've received word that Councilmember Hanford is going to be approximately 30 minutes late. Councilmember Cuddaback, will you please lead us in the pledge? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And without objection, I'd like to modify the agenda this evening. I'd like to take announcements and presentations first. We've got a proclamation for Police and Fire Appreciation Week. Is there any objection from council? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and proceed with that. So this coming week is Police and Fire Appreciation Week. Proclamation, Police and Fire Appreciation Week. Whereas the Monroe Police Department and Monroe Fire District No. 3 personnel keep our community safe by increasing public awareness of methods for crime and fire prevention. And whereas these devoted first responders show their dedication by putting their lives on the line to save others, protect property, and uphold the law. And whereas selfless concern and the courage to endure whatever ordeal they face are commonly held values among our police officers and firefighters, and whereas hard work and commitment is the mission of public safety, the mottos of the police department and fire department are: the Monroe Police Department is dedicated to the pursuit of excellence in providing professional law enforcement services, and the Monroe Fire District No. 3 is dedicated to protect life, property, and the environment through education, prevention, and emergency response to medical, fire, and hazardous materials. Maximum effort. We strive to accomplish this mission by maintaining operational readiness, by providing a highly trained and physically fit workforce, by promoting safety in all endeavors, and providing the necessary resources to adequately protect those we serve. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby issue this recognition as a true expression of appreciation and a symbol of gratitude for the exceptional quality of public service as you continue to dedicate yourselves to keeping our citizens and our community safe, and proclaim the week of November 15 through November 21st, 2015 as Police and Fire Appreciation Week in the City of Monroe. And I urge all citizens to join me in this special observance. Thank you. And Chief Silva and Deputy Chief Gunnar, please come on forward. Thank you. The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is a public hearing. The public hearing is for AB 15-199, 2016 budget. This is the second public hearing. Ms. Smoot is getting the sign-in sheet for that public hearing. And there has been nobody who has signed in to speak on the 2016 budget. Is there anybody here that would like to come forward and speak on the 2016 budget? Anybody at all? Okay. There is nobody who has come forward to speak on the 2016 budget. Council? Councilmember Davis?
I move to close the any citizen testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, thank you. I have a first from Councilmember Davis, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion to close the testimony portion of the public hearing for the 2016 budget? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Council, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Second.
First from Councilmember Cutaback, second from Councilmember Gamble to close the public hearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. The next item that we have on the agenda this evening is public hearing number 2. This is AB 15200, East Monroe Comprehensive Plan and Zoning Map Amendments. Mr. Osaki.
Well, while that's warming up, let me get. Oh, here we go. All right, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, at your November 10th meeting last week, City Council directed staff to schedule a public hearing for tonight on the East Monroe Comprehensive Plan Map Amendment and the East Monroe Zoning Map Amendment, otherwise known as a rezone. The presentation I have tonight is substantially similar to what I gave last week. It's a little more abbreviated, but I want to give enough information that if anybody here is here for the first time, they have a little bit of an idea of what the context is of what the testimony, what you're considering tonight. Tonight, you have a public hearing on the East Monroe Comprehensive Plan Map Amendment. You have a public hearing that's been combined on the East Monroe Zoning Map Amendment. The comprehensive plan, land use plan, as you know, is the long-range policy document for the city in terms of how the city sees itself in terms of managing growth and development and where you want to go as a community in terms of land use. The zoning map amendment, or the zoning code and the zoning map itself, implement the comprehensive plan. So to the extent that you choose or not choose to amend the comprehensive plan map itself, dictates what you'll do, want to do on the zoning map amendment. The zoning map has to be consistent with the comprehensive plan map. Should the council decide to approve the comprehensive plan map amendment, the zoning map amendment would appropriately be amended as well. Should the council decide not to amend the comprehensive plan map, then you would not amend the zoning map as well. A little bit of context and background, and I don't have the chronology that I had last time, but let me just give you some of the key dates. In December of 2013, the City Council approved two ordinances, one amending the comprehensive plan map and the second amending the zoning map for the East Monroe properties, granting this comprehensive plan map amendment and granting the zoning map amendment that you're considering again tonight. That public hearing and that council action in December of 2013 was preceded by a final environmental impact statement that was issued in September 2013. The action of the City Council approving those two ordinances was appealed to the Growth Management Hearings Board. Growth Management Hearings Board upheld the appeal in September of 2014. And in upholding that appeal, one of the items that the Growth Management Hearings Board focused on was that there's 14 state planning goals dealing with a variety of different issues that guide the development and amendment of comprehensive plans. They talk about housing, they talk about transportation, they talk about urban growth, and one of them talks about the environment. And that environment state planning goal says, protect the environment and enhance the state's high quality of life, including air and water quality and the availability of water. And in that Growth Management Hearings Board order, what they essentially stated was the adoption of those two ordinances was not guided by and substantially interferes with the fulfillment of State Planning Goal 10, which relates to the environment. So the city's response to the hearings board order was to prepare a supplemental environmental impact statement. The supplemental environmental impact statement, again, supplements the final environmental impact statement issued in September. There's a draft supplemental environmental impact statement that's issued. There's a comment period. People provide written comments. We held an optional public hearing on September 23rd. People gave verbal comments. And then as part of that the city issues a final supplemental environmental impact statement. That was issued November 2nd of this year, and in that document it responds to all the comments, the written comments and public comments given at the September 23rd public hearing. Now, between the time of the issuance of the draft supplemental environmental impact statement in August and the time of the issuance of the final supplemental environmental impact statement in November, the Planning Commission held a public hearing. They held a public hearing October 12th, they deliberated on October 19th, and they issued a recommendation on October 26th of denial of the comprehensive plan map amendment and denial of the zoning map amendment, and you've been provided the findings and conclusions of the Planning Commission related to that action. Very briefly, the subject property, again, 43 acres, it consists of five parcels, essentially created as part of a short plat in 2004, property fronts US 2. Through the environmental analysis, there's approximately 11 acres that are unencumbered by a native growth protection easement, buffers or critical areas or critical area buffers. There's one on-site stream, and part of that stream is subject to the city's shoreline master program requirements. Three on-site wetlands, property lies at the base of a hillside that exists to the north and northwest, and it's also identified as a flood hazard area on the preliminary FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, flood insurance rate maps. And this is an aerial photograph of the parcels. Five parcels again, a stream, and to the north and to the northwest, the hillside or the bluff that goes up to single-family residential houses on top of the hillside. So again, the proposed comprehensive plan and map amendment, current designation, limited open space on our comprehensive plan map. If this comprehensive plan map amendment were approved to general commercial, this is what our comprehensive land use plan map would look like. And to the extent that our zoning designations have the same name, should the council approve the zoning map amendment, again, this is the current zoning map, five parcels, currently zoned limited open space, and were the zoning map amendment approved, they would be rezoned to general commercial. And again, the city council in 2012 approved a resolution that establish criteria that need to be addressed and satisfied for a comprehensive plan map amendment to be approved. That resolution says each plan amendment shall meet the following criteria to be recommended for approval, shall not adversely affect public health, safety, welfare, consistent with the overall goals and intent of the comprehensive plan, shall be in compliance with the Growth Management Act, must be weighed in light of cumulative effects of other amendments. And then that resolution goes on to say any proposed amendment must meet the following additional criteria unless there's compelling reasons otherwise, addresses needs or changing circumstances, environmental impacts have been disclosed, is consistent with land use and growth projections, is compatible with neighboring land uses and surrounding neighborhoods, and is consistent with other plan elements and the overall intent of the comprehensive plan. So that prior slide and this slide are the decisional criteria that you as a council need to address in making a decision on this particular plan amendment and rezone. Last week you directed staff to prepare findings and conclusions for approval, and those are provided to you tonight. So I don't believe at this point I know that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Council members, do you have any questions before we move to the hearing? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move to the public hearing. Just as a reminder for everybody, we have 5 minutes for each speaker. I will let you know when your 5 minutes is up. And so I ask that everybody please watch the time. We currently have approximately 30 people who have signed up. If everybody took their 5 minutes, let alone went over it, you do the math, you're looking at a very long meeting, nearly 3 hours. So just be aware of that. I'll let you know if you've gone over your 5 minute time. Yeah, I appreciate your understanding. The first person that we have to sign up this evening is Mr. Lowell Anderson. Mr. Anderson, please come forward and state your name and address for the record, and thank you.
Hello, Joel Anderson, 129 East Redmont Drive, Monroe, Washington. Longtime opponent of the rezone. I'll be brief. 2 minutes will be max. The purpose of the City Council is to do the people's business for their best interests. However, whose interests are actually being served by the proposed rezone? The narrow interests of the property owner or the broader interests of the City of Monroe? This is a non-project proposal. No one is waiting to develop approximately 11 of the 43 acres being rezoned from limited open space to general commercial. Therefore, the city will not recover any of the hundreds of thousands of dollars spent on this special interest project. It appears the council majority is basing their decision on the consultant's opinions, Pace Engineering, Watershed Science and Engineering, GEO Engineers and Wetland and Resources Incorporated. Pace Engineering submitted a non-valid survey to me that was used as the basis for the Watershed Science and Engineering study. Many unanswered questions surround the Watershed Science and Engineering and GEO Engineers memorandums. Three of the consultants were not available for questions by the opposition at the Planning Commission, but all were made available to the City Council. The City of Monroe has allowed the FSEIS to be prepared by an outside consultant retained by the applicant. Whose interests are actually being served by the proposed rezone? The narrow interests of the property owner or the broader interests of the City of Monroe? How much should the city rely on the FSEIS given that the preparer had a financial interest in assuring a positive outcome? This study is biased, based on misleading, missing information, non-valid documentation prepared by a group with a conflict of interest. Please vote to deny, and thank you. And I did it in 2 minutes.
Okay, and I need to ask that applause be kept, that we not applaud or speak from the audience. We do have a lot of people who are here to speak today, and I do need to keep things moving. So thank you again for your patience and understanding. The next person we have who signed up to speak is Mr. Jeff Sherwood. Mr. Sherwood, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
My name is Jeff Sherwood. I live now live at 4 Smith Street in Monroe. I was here last week. I'm going to touch some points. I also gave a letter to all the council members. This property is in the urban growth area of Monroe. There are no other properties in Monroe with reasonable locations, especially along the State Route 2 corridor, which would be capable of supporting a large-scale project. And with our growing population, as I mentioned last week, the demand for that will probably only increase. It was originally anticipated that Hagen's would shut down and walk away, and we would have a large vacant space in town. It's now like Albertson's is going to go back in there and rebrand it. Go figure. Having two stores within 100 yards of each other. In any case, a couple examples are Tractor Supply, as you know, located on a very difficult site that had well above grade frontage on Route 2. That's the desirability of having Route 2 frontage and exposure led them to build on a site that was less than optimal. You can remember some years ago when Potosa's restaurant, and I think, Mitzel's, I think, was a successor in interest to Potosa's. The people that put that retail building in there paid effectively about $60 a square foot for that piece of land, which is probably 3 to 4 times what a typical land value would be in Monroe, just so they could be on Route 2. And this site is on Route 2, and therefore it would be desirable to the market and would be a marketable property. In order for a property to be acceptable to that type of developer, that type of owner-user, it would be necessary that it be zoned. They would not think about going, buying the property without the zoning in place and hoping they would get the zone. That just represents too much risk. I believe that this property can be developed with a large-scale commercial use with no significant burden to the public infrastructure. I believe that's possible. And so the argument that it would be very costly to the city, I don't think that holds water. The creation of a commercial development that would occur on this property would be of benefit to the city from a taxation standpoint, and would also be beneficial to the citizens by having another place where they could get goods and services. In this process, as you know, I don't know if the city's involvement financially is in it, but I know that the property owners have spent a lot of money because they feel that this is a valid pursuit. And I think most of the money that's been spent by the city has been spent in response to the opposition. I understand the opposition. I don't agree with the opposition from a physical standpoint. As I mentioned last week, as a soil physicist, I don't see this property, especially the developable area, as creating that many environmental difficulties. When the government takes 75% of someone's property and leaves them 25% they can actually use, the Growth Management Hearing Board decision, as I said in my letter, it was vacuous at best, because they were saying there was not adequate consideration of protection of the environment in all that had gone before, which is simply not true. That is just simply not true, okay? Because you take 75%, you've already buffered the use, you've already taken into account a lot of the types of objections that might occur if 30 or 40 acres were developed. So, and another thing is the shoreline designation. I think the Planning Commission and the City Council needs to address that has no place there. It's a very minor stream, and why there's a shoreline designation there that causes, you know, additional setbacks, I don't understand. So, in any case, I am in favor of it. I believe it's physically supported. I believe it's legally supported. And I urge you to vote for the rezoning. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next person we have signed up to speak is Mr. Hamer. Mr. Hamer, will you come forward and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
Doug Hamer, 2112 Calvin Mountain. I know you're all hoping for the culmination of last week's episode. You're probably wondering where the heck I was going with that. But I'm sorry it's been preempted by a different show. Anyway, in 2013, together with a long list of obviously absurd claims made in the EIS, PACE's unimpeachable scientific experts insisted that their LIDAR survey was the best available science. So there's really no reason for anybody not to accept the proposition that 8-foot-high blackberry bushes, hundreds of feet long, were actually solid ground. Where were the expert analysis to prove otherwise? They also said this, and I quote, "This FEIS recognizes the importance of the stream that flows through the site by means of an oxbow connecting it to the Skykomish River, acknowledges that the stream is regulated through box culverts as it enters and leaves the site." Now PACE has had to call yet another unimpeachable expert to impeach their own unimpeachable experts with regard to the presence or absence of the culvert at the east end of the slough. The new unimpeachable expert reaches the convenient conclusion that there is no culvert. Didn't see one. Must not be there. I believe that Mr. Fuhrer's testimony at last week's council meeting brings that conclusion into serious question. Surprisingly, I now find myself agreeing with PACE's 2013 unimpeachable experts. There is a culvert there. But as it should be, it is sitting on the old riverbed, and the river's aggradation and deposition of rock around it since its installation has put it out of sight. According to the Highway Department's manual for culvert design, the culvert beneath the highway, be it 3 foot or 4 feet in diameter, is the size you should use if you are expecting 10 to 12 feet of headwater. It's hard for me to imagine where those little drainage ditches, which we know from PACE's unimpeachable experts are the sole source of water entering the slough through that highway culvert. Yes, it is hard for me to imagine where those little ditches are going to encounter 10 to 12 feet of headwater if it is not coming through that railroad embankment. All of which, I haven't heard yet why all of that isn't purely academic, because, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the hydrology expert, Jeff Johnson, Watershed Science and Engineering's co-founder, tells us that when FEMA calculates the base flood level, those non-levees don't even exist. So if the base flood level is 67 feet on the south side of the tracks, it's 67 feet on the north side of the tracks. As I've said many times, you can search every river system in the western United States, as I have done, and you won't find any development on a point bar of an abandoned oxbow like this. It just doesn't happen. For what I think most people would see as obvious reasons. I came across a flood study by Guilvier et al., 1994, which identified railroad embankment breaches resulting from a 1993 flood. Using panchromatic aerial photography, the breach locations were compared with those of a 1990 flood event. And there was found to be a high level of coincidence. Specific sections that had high numbers of breaches were either in historically unstable reaches where railroad embankments overlay old river channels, or where those embankments were on the outside of the meander bends. Both of those hazard conditions apply to the railroad embankment that is supposedly preventing any river water at all from entering the East Monroe Slough. The University of Washington just published today a nearly 300-page document, The State of Knowledge, Climate Change in Puget Sound, which, like FEMA's study before it, indicates that the frequency and volume of flooding is expected to rise dramatically in the not-too-distant future. And I'll end with a paragraph in their executive summary of that document, at the end of it, which I think is apropos to your decision tonight. The region's best future will be achieved if the early step toward climate risk reduction can be connected and enhanced. Decisions that consider climate risks, the interactions among these risks, and the connections between these risks and non-climate stressors offer the opportunity to maintain the integrity of the ecosystems that we treasure, the reliability of the infrastructure on which we depend, and the well-being of this generation and future generations in the Puget Sound region. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person that we have who signed up to speak is Duana Klushkava. Did I come close with your name?
Okay.
Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you, Duana Koloshkova, 11201 Southeast 8th Avenue, Bellevue, Washington. I am here on behalf of Heritage. I am a principal at the law firm of JMMK Law. And I want to thank you very much for your ongoing consideration of this very important piece of property, this very important process that you've been conducting. I want to apologize for not being able to be present at your last meeting. I'm actually right in the middle of an ongoing lengthy other project hearing process, and so part of our job as land use attorneys to juggle these as we proceed through growth management planning in a number of different jurisdictions in the Puget Sound region. That being said, I actually left a little early in order to get here for this hearing because I felt it was really important to also appear in front of you all and note the importance of what you're considering as far as this particular property is concerned and in terms of both the environmental and the planning work that's been undertaken to date. I'm not going to take any time and attention away from our legal and technical team. You've heard from them before. You have a lot of material in the record, and you'll hear from some of them again tonight. But again, I want to emphasize to you what I feel is both a high quality of work and an extensive amount of analysis for this stage of your planning process when it comes to a property like this. Rezones are often a challenging process for the public and for cities to work through. It's change, and change doesn't come easy a lot of times when cities have to deal with their Growth Management Act planning obligations. That's why the growth management was hard to pass to begin with, and that's why your job can be challenging as council members, and I would not presume to stand in the place of the difficult decisions that you have to make in weighing your duties and obligations under the GMA. But what I will say is that it is unquestionable that your job as council members is to secure and ensure urban growth in your incorporated city. The GMA clearly mandates that that's what we have decided as a matter of policy for Washington State, that urban facilities, urban services like commercial, like properties that are located adjacent to major transit corridors, that those properties are used in an appropriate urban manner. If we don't do that, we will end up ultimately eviscerating the Growth Management Act and seeing pretty significant growth out in our rural areas. That was a trade-off we made as a state many years ago. And for better or for worse, that means a lot of times we have these difficult rezones that come forward, but are important to approve so that the city can move forward with its, compliance, for lack of a better word, with the Growth Management Act. That being said, what I do believe you've been presented with is a highly defensible environmental analysis and planning process. For this type of site, for its location, both near a major transit corridor and within the urban growth area in the incorporated city itself, and for the amount, for the level of review that we're talking about as far as the rezoning and the comprehensive plan amendment process, I have to say I have rarely seen this much environmental analysis go in at this stage of the planning process. We are in the non-project review portion of the planning process, and so it's correct you don't have a land development application in front of you, because you can't until you actually get through this piece of it. With the amount of review that you have before you and the amount of public process and input you've given for this property, I would urge you to affirm your prior comprehensive plan amendment and rezone. You have a strong both environmental and planning policy level of support for this particular proposal, and it would be absolutely appropriate, again, under your role as the GMA jurisdiction, to continue forward with your work to support urban development in urban areas. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next person that we have signed up to speak is Ms. Trisna Tennis. Please state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Honorable Council Members. My name is Trisna Tanis. Address is 11201 Southeast 8th Street in Bellevue. I am legal counsel for and here on behalf of Heritage. The East Monroe proposal has had a long history, but most recently last week, we decided to direct city staff to prepare findings and conclusions to adopt the ordinances to amend the comprehensive plan and zoning for East Monroe. We ask that tonight that you adopt these ordinances, consistent with your decision last week. Your adoption would also be consistent with your decision to comply with the board's order and correct the deficiencies that the board had found previously. It would be consistent with the request and authorization for Heritage to undertake the preparation of the SEIS. And it would also be consistent with your request for extensions to the board twice. The city had told the board that it was diligently working with Pace Engineering to prepare the SEIS, and it was going to go through the public process and take additional legislative actions towards compliance. The board agreed and granted the extension. The SEIS is now complete. You have information and analysis. You have answers to those unresolved questions and issues that the Planning Commission had when they reviewed the draft SEIS. In this final SEIS, you have what you need to have to approve the East Monroe proposal. And of course, we are and are going through the public process now. We have done those things the city told the board that it was going to do. Now let me tell you about the SEIS. It is not flawed. The individuals who gathered information, performed the analysis, prepared the SEIS, are professional scientists and engineers. Their reputations were built over many years of hard and good work. They rely on these reputations every day for their livelihoods, and certainly for work beyond this one. The fact that Heritage is the one who retained Pace Engineering and the subconsultants is typical. This is done all the time. In fact, Washington, the WAC provides this in the code. It allows for the applicant to hire the consultants to prepare the SEIS or EIS. So calling into question the integrity of the work and the expertise of these folks when there's absolutely no evidence to do so is simply unfortunate and wrong. And this SEIS was not just handed to you by PACE and its sub-consultants. We went through an extensive review process with the city staff led by Mr. Osaki. Because ultimately, Mr. Osaki is the CEQA responsible official, and he must be satisfied with it before it is submitted. And also, as legal counsel for Heritage, we've been intimately involved with this process to make sure that we comply with the board's order. As Duana has mentioned, our firm has the qualifications and experience and expertise with this type of work as well as with the board. We are confident that the board will find this SEIS to be compliant. I also want to confirm the appropriateness of the content and scope of the SEIS. Remember, the board only found certain deficiencies, namely their to analysis and a reasonable range of impacts to include a no-action alternative and analysis for the whole 43-acre site. Therefore, the SEIS only addresses these issues and only these issues. The content and scope of the SEIS is also dictated by the fact that this is a non-project proposal. There is no project on the table. Nothing is being proposed that would alter the physical environment. A CEPA review focuses on those things that is ready to be reviewed. Here, as a non-project proposal, we look at the big picture. Look at the cumulative impacts, reasonable range of alternatives, and mitigation measures. And note, CEPA requires reasonable range of alternatives, not all alternatives to be considered. There are lots of demands out there for this project review, this proposal to be reviewed more than a non-project proposal would. But this is not how CEPA works. In this case, there is a two-step process. So the bottom line is that this final SEIS, together with the 2013 EIS, have done what it's supposed to do, give you full disclosure of the environmental impacts arising from this non-project proposal.
Ms. Tennyson, I need you to wrap up.
Thank you. And tell you that the East Monroe proposal should be approved. The board will find compliance with the city's action in this matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person who signed up to speak is Mr. Craig Erdman. Mr. Erdman, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you. Oh, and before you speak, please let the record show that Councilmember Hanford entered chambers during Ms. Tanis's testimony at 7:37. Thank you. Go ahead.
Good evening. My name is Craig Erdman. I work for Geo Engineers at 8410 154th Avenue Northeast in Redmond, Washington, and I'm here on behalf of the applicant. And I just am here to affirm that the efforts that we undertook to prepare our study meet the standards of practice in our field at this area at this time. It's been our opinion that we've identified the hazards, the erosion and landslide hazards that we were asked to identify and characterize adequately. In our opinion, drilling holes up at the top of the slopes or in the mid-slope area would not add to what we would do, and especially for this stage of the project, in terms of it being a rezone, that's a bit more than anything that we would expect to do in something like this. One of the other issues that's come up is, you know, we haven't visited the upslope properties. I'm going to touch on that a little bit later, but, you know, one thing I do want to point out, there's no way we would have visited every single one of those properties. There were things that we could see from up above, as I'll get into a little bit later. Our assumption is that, you know, whatever activities are going on up there that could adversely affect slope stability are going to occur whether this project happens or not. So if there's drainage problems, if there's spill, if they're cutting trees, we'll get into the cutting trees a little more. But those aren't going to change, and they're not going to be affected by the project. And as a result, you know, we anticipate that those conditions up there will stay the same. Let's see. This is a non-project rezone, so you know, this the level of analyses that we've completed, we believe are appropriate. There have been shallow landslides documented on the hill slope. We see a lot of evidence that there's been a landslide activity, and we've mapped that entire slope above the subject property as being a landslide hazard area. Now, one thing I do want to make sure, you know, we're not saying that there's no landslide problem. We're saying that there are existing shallow landslides. They've occurred in the past. They've occurred recently. They're going to continue to occur whether this project happens or not. The main part of the project is more than 200 feet away from the slope itself. The toe is not going to be cut whatsoever, and therefore the setbacks and buffers for the main part of the project are appropriate. The northeast part of the project is going to need some review during the defined project stage, and I think that's appropriate for that future phase of this project. Evaluation of the upslope properties would have allowed us to look at things like drainage and whether people have been filling, and you know, we've seen evidence of tree cutting and so forth, and you know, that continues. That's the only thing I think that is changing really in respect to upfield property use, and that has a potential for impacting slope stability in the long run here. It results in tree removal, potential erosion as those trees are removed. We can expect that landslide activity will be accelerated in those areas. Again, as I mentioned, there's no excavation planned at the toe of the slope. There is, in fact, a buildup of material at the toe of the slope that helps to provide an additional buffer from the stream. As flood levels rise, it is going to encroach on the toe, but based on the modeling that has been done, the simulated elevations and velocities are not adequate to really erode that material any different under the proposed conditions as compared to the existing. We've compared to the baseline and looked at the proposed conditions. We've assumed that the critical areas ordinance is going to be followed, and as well as other building codes, and as a result of that, you know, we don't see any significant change that's going to adversely affect slope stability, public safety, and the environment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next person who we have signed up to speak is Mr. Scott Brainerd. Mr. Brainerd, can you please come forward and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
I'm Scott Brainerd. My last name is spelled B-R-A-I-N-A-R-D. I'm a principal ecologist for Wetland Resources. My address is 9505 19th Avenue Southeast, Suite 106, Everett, 9208. I just wanted to briefly reiterate my statements that I made from the council the last two council meetings, specific to wetland streams and threatened and endangered wildlife species. No threatened or endangered wildlife species are mapped in or around subject property, and none were observed in any of the site investigations. Fish were not observed in the site investigations that were conducted out there. However, given the connectivity to the Skycomish River and the characteristics of the on-site slough, it's assumed that fish presence, both anadromous and resident species, are there. There is no proposed disturbance to the on-site wetlands and streams as part of any future development activity that could occur on-site or as part of the rezone. Any proposed future development activity would likely impact or would likely include work within the buffer for flood control. This work would also involve significant enhancement to the buffer surrounding the wetlands and the streams for the benefit of fish and wildlife, and include ongoing control of invasive species. So to bring this to a conclusion, based on the work that Wetland Resources has conducted, it's my professional opinion that there would be no significant significant adverse environmental impact associated with the East Monroe rezone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next person that we have who signed up to speak is Mr. Larry Karpak. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Yes, I'm Larry Karpak with Watershed Science and Engineering. Our address is 110 Prefontaine Place in Seattle, speaking on behalf of Heritage. I do have a PowerPoint presentation. I want to briefly go through with you. I don't want to, previously I've spoken to you twice, I think, once to the Planning Commission. The conclusions of detailed hydraulic modeling and analysis we did on this site was that a adequately mitigated project on the site would not cause a rise in water levels and would not cause an increase in velocities. Velocities on the site are very low because it's a slough that receives a limited amount of water, and by compensatory storage, which is adequately mitigated, by compensatory storage on the site, the water levels can be maintained at the existing condition. What I wanted to do tonight was actually just take you through the site itself and to give you a better context for the work we did. This is a layout of the site, the slough running through the site, the culverts under Highway 18 at the east end, the culverts under Highway 18, Highway 2 on the west end, and Burlington Northern Railroad. I'm just going to run through some photos taken by us in January when we did our site investigations out here. This is the culvert under the Burlington Northern Railroad at the west end of the site. So at the outlet of the slough to the Skykomish River is a 72-inch concrete culvert. I'm actually standing in the culvert. I'm 6 foot tall. I can stand in the culvert. Under Highway 2, there's a box culvert. This is looking from the downstream end towards the site, towards the upstream end of the box culvert. I believe it's 5 by 4 feet, it's in our report, but a large box culvert at that location. At the east end of the site, at the other end of the slough, this is looking from near the culvert under Highway 2 towards the railroad embankment. We went out here, as I told you last week, we expected we would look for a culvert under the railroad embankment. We did. We could not find a culvert under the railroad embankment. What you're looking at here is a pool of water that's actually being backed up from the north side of Highway 2. We walked through that water, we looked for a culvert, we looked on the other side of the embankment, we couldn't find a culvert. Last week, somebody mentioned that they dug down and hit something that they believe might be a culvert. Frankly, if there's a culvert there and it's buried, it's performing the same function as no culvert at all. It's blocked, it's not letting water through. This is the culvert at this end. Recall the culvert at Highway 2 at the other end. This is the culvert at the east end. It's a 3 or 4 foot diameter culvert. It's filled with sediment. It's plugged with sediment to within 18 inches of the top. So you can see here, actually you can't even get to the center of the culvert because it's sedimented in to that level. This is the downstream end of that culvert. As I said, that pool of water we saw on the other side of the culvert was being backed up. If you might be able to see it, right below that stake actually is the culvert. So it was underwater when we were there, fully submerged at the north side. This is looking towards the east. This is where the primary flow was entering along a ditch along Highway 2, carrying most of the flow from the local drainage area coming into the slough. This is now turning towards the slough. This is the slough itself, so that flow path that was coming along Highway 2 from east to west then turns, goes in the slough, and this is in the slough. You see, at this time, water's just down in the very low channel of the slough, but you can see the channel outside of that that would fill with water during a flood. This is the slough near the west end of the site. So this is now back by the culvert at the west end looking up. That's actually a beaver dam up there you can see. But again, you see the width of the slough very wide compared to those culverts, which leads to the fact that water coming through and onto the site is in that slough. It's 50 feet or more wide.
And Mr. Carpet, I need you to wrap up.
Well, I was in our report. We presented these plots. They show the compensatory storage and fill on the site. With the offsetting compensatory storage, there would be no impact on water levels on the site.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next person that we have who signed up to speak is Mr. Bob Martin. Mr. Martin, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
My name is Bob Harden. I'm with a 103 Brookmont County State Row. I'd like to go back a little bit from my perspective, give you a little history on the site. I was a member of the Monroe Planning Commission for over 16 years, going back before the GMA even existed. And from the time I started the Planning Commission, our discussions on this site, on this property, at all times assumed that, if not assumed, provided that it was a eastern gateway, a rural eastern gateway to the city, separated physically from the remainder of the development in Monroe. So, in the late 80s, GMA was the comprehensive plan was adopted for the city, which reflected that. That plan existed for many years before Heritage ever acquired it. The plan was reviewed several times by the state growth management people. Never was there any discussion about whether it was appropriate or inappropriate to have that designation on that property. So I'm in opposition to the rezon. I want to talk a little bit about some non-environmental issues. The addition of more commercial development over and above the underutilized existing development will retard recovery of both downtown and Highway 2 commercial activity. There's just no doubt about it. All you've got to do is look at vacancy rates in Monroe right now in commercial property. Development invites further development out Highway 2 towards Sultan, because there's nothing, no physical barrier between that property and the whole strip out towards Sultan, which will remove rural and agricultural uses and further suck commercial activity from those downtown and existing commercial sites. And also, extension of the city utilities about a half a mile east of where they exist now. Even though it's paid for by the developer, the maintenance of it is assumed by the city of Monroe. And there won't be any intervening users. So we're going to have this big, long utility, water and sewer and stormwater lines, which will, for which the city of Monroe will be responsible for the maintenance. And it just seems to me not make sense to do that. I believe that Councilman Cuddeback's summary at the last meeting really summarized my thoughts very well about this proposal. Thank you.
The next person who we have signed up to speak is it Mr. Jerry Levish? Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Jerry Lavish, 16603 275th Avenue Southeast, Monroe. I'm just a farmer in the Snohomish Valley, the Skyfomas Valley. Right now, most of my land's underwater. We won't worry about that. But anyway, we are very concerned in the valley of that becoming another Kent Valley. And is this what you folks want to happen? Is another Kent Valley in our backyard? And so I don't have any technical things, and it's kind of tough to talk behind after you listen to a lawyer. But anyway, I'm just a farmer. But it seems to me that we need to draw the line somewhere about where we're going to have the cities and where we're going to have the farms. And I'm supposed that every one of you, you know, you had a good meal before you came here. I hope you remember where that food came from. And if we keep losing this farm ground, you're not going to have the luxuries of being able to eat like you used to. You got to remember, in Europe, they spend 35% of their money on food. We spend 8. And so all I can say is I beg you to vote against this and keep that land farm ground. Thank you.
Again, I need to ask that people don't applaud from the floor. The next person we have signed up to speak is Ms. Dodi Simone.
Oh, no, I'm not speaking.
Okay. How about Mr. Bob Simone?
No, that's
okay.
They thought it was a sign-in sheet.
I'm sorry.
They thought
was
it was
that?
A sign-in sheet.
Okay.
They didn't mean to speak.
Okay, so.
Okay. Noted.
You sign in.
Okay, so I have noted then for the record that you're not signed up to speak. Thank you. The next person that I have signed up to speak is Mary Walsh. Ms. Walsh, will you please come forward and state your name and address for the record?
I'm right here. I suppose I have a lot to say, but I'm...
Please come to the podium and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Hi. Well, my name is Mary Walsh, and it's 15431, 167th Avenue Southeast in Monroe. After listening to the lawyers, of course I'm not going to sound like them, my parents own a small business in town. I'm really concerned that we have empty buildings in town downtown now. If we do add more commercial buildings, where are the people going to come to put, I mean, who's going to go there? And then what happens to downtown? I'm really worried about our downtown area. We just made, let's see, I'm nervous, I should tell. We just made the town, I mean, you guys fixed the streets. You did that. So now you're all done with that. Fine, Danny, that looks good. Now you want to move out to Highway 2, and who's going to go there? Who? I mean, how are we going to bring other people there? Plus the traffic. I'm really worried about the traffic. That's another thing. So I'm kind of concerned. You know, and I've lived here all my life. I hate to see it, I don't know, like he said, become a Kent Valley. I don't want that to happen. Thank you.
The next person that we have who signed up to speak is Ms. Kathy, is it Helgeson? Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Kathy Helgeson, and I live at 20212 87th Street Southeast, Snohomish. I'm on the borderline between Monroe and Snohomish. And I'm just here to say I used to live on Highway 2, and I just feel that instead of this being a gateway to Monroe, it'll be a slam door. If these people come down the valley and they get to that whatever shopping mall, whatever is going to be there, why in the world would they come into Monroe to do their shopping? They're going to turn around and go back. All we're going to do is help Sultan and other cities. I think it's a death knell to Monroe. I think we should keep what you guys have done. A great job downtown. It looks awesome. My grandkids walk down there. It's great. It's great. And I think we should go on that. And now the road that's going behind Safeway, awesome. Do fix up what we have here. Let's leave that alone. I think we need to concentrate on Monroe. And if you're our city council, you need to listen to the people who think this is a bad idea. And it's been thought a bad idea for a long time. And I don't have all the technical that they have, but I just want to say that if you really feel for Monroe and you want this town to grow, we need to help it, not hurt it. So I'm opposed. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person that we have signed up to speak is Valerie Powell. Ms. Powell, will you please come forward and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Valerie Powell, and I live at 12406 Trout Farm Road in Sultan. And I'm also a volunteer firefighter EMT with Sultan, and I have been for over 20 years. And I have seen the death and carnage on Highway 2. I actually had a car turn around in front of me right before that proposed area, field, and literally that dump truck slammed into the back of that car because he decided he wanted to turn left into the only driveway on the left and literally smashed him. I was driving my truck and horse trailer, and it was only by the grace of God that I didn't hit either, you know, them, unless I was pieces. But I have picked up dead bodies on that highway, not only people, but deer, beaver. You know, there's herons in there in that field, you know, so there is animals and fish and stuff down there. But I'd also like to say there is other commercial empty buildings that are sitting in Monroe. You know, I've lived, you know, in Washington my whole life, and I just know that you guys have the power to, you know, do the right thing. And then I'd also like to say that definitely that highway is not a good thing to have. I mean, you can see that there's no like left turn signals or left turn lanes there. I mean, that highway is bad. I mean, everybody knows how many deaths have been on the highway. We just had one 4 days ago, you know? And so it's just, it's better to keep it, you know, open space area instead of commercial. Please vote no on the rezone. Have a good day.
Yeah. Thank you. The next person that we have signed up to speak is Ms. Christy Cundy. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
I actually thought it was a sign-up sheet, too, but I'll go ahead and talk. My name is Christy Cundy, long-term resident, registered voter at 15215 175th Avenue, southeast of Monroe. I'll try to be really brief. I've been writing this down as I've been listening. I haven't heard anything from the paid opposed people that have done all these research that says that this is a good idea. This swayed anything that I felt as far as I just driving down this afternoon, right downtown, I'm looking at empty building after empty building. I'm over by the movie theater, empty building, empty space over by Walmart, empty space by Lowe's. I'm going to be empty spaces over by Hagen's and areas around there. I'd like to see the people that I vote for support the infrastructure that's here within these couple of miles of where we're at, instead of an area that ecologically or whatever they want to say that it's fine to mess with that system that's over there. I've witnessed in the past areas that I've lived in, Conway and Mount Vernon, where they've come out and said, oh, it's not going to do any damage, and there's flooding, a dike breaks, whatever. It affects the system, and I don't see Monroe hurting enough where we need to put our focus out of town. It needs to be in town in this area. You've spent all this money doing Main Street, taking away parking, doing the parallel. It looks beautiful down there, all the empty places. I'd like to see our focus stay in this particular part of town. The traffic out there is a nightmare to try to get, even if you're trying to go just to Sultan to go or to Gold Bar. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. Or to even get over the pass. And that's only going to add to it. Are you going to be able to extend and do a two-lane out that are three lanes with a turn lane out in the middle of Highway 2? I mean, we can't even get a bypass in town. So I'm not going to ramble on. I'll be brief. There's lots of other people that want to speak. But I hope you listen to the voices of the people that live here, pay taxes, are paid money to do a survey or a study, and that have our hearts in this town and are voting for you. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Is there a way, Liz, you could turn the volume down slightly? There's some feedback going on. I think it's because the
mic. There's about 40 people out here.
Yeah, I'm here.
They can just be closer than us.
Turn it down a little.
Thank you.
Okay. The next person we have who signed up to speak is Mary Kay Everett. Ms. Everett, will you please come forward and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
I'm Mary Kay Everett. My address is 18514 126th Street Southeast. Almost everything I feel like saying has probably said much more eloquently by the people ahead of me. I think the biggest thing I've been doing a lot.
Turn it up.
Liz, can you turn it up, please?
You're speaking in the mic.
The most logical.
Thank you.
The biggest objection I have to this is it does not seem logical. Like other people have stated, there's a lot of vacancies in town. It doesn't make sense to push out. You don't want to create sprawl. Concentrate on fixing what you already have. Bring people in where they need to be. And just because something follows within certain guidelines, I'm sure everything was done appropriately. I'm sure nobody's doing anything that isn't legal or right, but it doesn't mean it is the proper thing to do. It doesn't mean it's the best thing to do for your community. So please do what's best for your community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. The next person we have signed up to speak is Shelby Everett. Ms. Everett, will you please come forward and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
I don't want to talk. I just thought it was a sign-up sheet.
Okay, so I'm understanding from the floor that you thought it was a sign-up sheet. You're not coming up to speak. Thank you. The next person that we have signed up to speak is Linnea Webster. Ms. Webster, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Linnea Webster, 15327 276 Drive Southeast, Monroe. I'm opposed to this. I have lived in Monroe all my life, which has been quite a while, and I've seen a lot of changes in Monroe. I never thought that I would see Safeway and Ben Franklin and Walmart and all of those on the other side of Highway 2. I have seen that area when you just, it's nice to get through all of the commercial property, go over the hill, and hit farmland. I mean, it's becoming less and less farmland, less and less areas for the farmers. Remember, that's where our food comes from. I have horses. I buy local hay. If there's not going to be any more farmland, where are we going to get the hay to feed our animals? And my main concern is the Highway 2. When you go up over the hill, how are you guys going to get us into, if this is going to be commercial property or houses? Are you going to do a roundabout? Are you going to do another stoplight, just like we need another stoplight? You see the traffic from Monroe to Salton is horrible, especially on the weekends. And I'm thinking, if you guys do construction, I live off of Old Owens, if you do construction on Highway 2, then that means that Old Owens is going to be nothing but traffic. When you guys have, there's an accident that happened last week, Highway 2 was closed for 4 or 5 hours. Where did the traffic go? It went up Old Owens. And anytime there's a closure on Highway 2, it's Old Owens. So how are you going to get into this property is my concern. So I'm against it.
Thank you.
The next person that we have signed up to speak is Jack Webster. Mr. Webster, will you please come forward and state your name and address for the record?
I'm Jack Webster, Monroe, Washington, and I am opposed to what's going on. I look at the property out there, it's been there for years, they've done a lot of different, grown a lot of different crops on it, and for some reason now they want to build a building or do something, because there's no reason to do anything with that piece of property unless you're going to build on it. I mean, it's just not make any sense, and we're just putting a rezone on it. Somebody's going to do something with it. So consequently, like the rest of the people have said too, is that we have enough empty buildings in Monroe. I mean, good on any one of our streets and our commercial areas, over in an area where it used to be a gravel pit, now we got Lowell's and we got different stores there. But there's still a lot of areas there that haven't been filled up yet. So I'm opposed to building any more in Monroe until you figure out something, some way to make it a little different. I mean, you get that area out there is not a very good area to build in. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person we have signed up to speak is it Wayard Grunenfeld? Wayard Grunenfeld? Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record.
Wayard Grunenfeld, 29126 Fir Bluff Road, Monroe, Washington, 98272.
Thank you.
You know, I have a real problem when people see a piece of land and they see a development there. They picture malls, houses, you name it. And about 20 years ago, I attended a meeting like this in Sultan. Apparently, people had decided that Sultan needed to come west. And first thing, the mayor got up and said, you know, I walk out of Sultan, I walk along and the sidewalk stops at a certain place, and I go a little further, and the road goes up, up the hospital hill. And he said, after that, it looks like somebody's trying to farm or something. Well, we were trying to farm. And that was, we started in 1938, and we would like, we're third generation, we would like to keep farming. When I grew up, every little county road you went up had a milk stand on it. There were milk, cans of milk on it. And maybe the father was working in the shingle mill or something, but somebody had to milk those cows, and it was usually the kids or the wife. We don't see that anymore. We're the last dairy farm east of Monroe, and there used to be probably several hundred. Just between Sultan and Monroe, there was about 12 of them on the old Sultan Lower Road. And then the highway came in 1953, and it took a chunk of our property, a big chunk of it. The railroad was already there. Lower Road was already there. But the river is there too. And the river, if every chance it has, takes a chunk of our property. And we're not even allowed to fix it. We can't even put riprap in it that we could do in the 50s. So how somebody could come in and take something that was zoned the way it is and rezone it for development, I don't understand that. There's so many things we can't do. The Shoreline Management Act stopped us from doing a lot of things. If we want to put a drain tile in, we have a hard time getting a permit. And if it's a wetland, forget about it. And this is the kind of thing that that bothers me. I hate to see any more land go to development. There's a lot of places that things can be developed. Churches can be built up on higher ground. I can build one in Snohomish. And, you know, there's a better place for things that aren't agriculture. And the little bit of agriculture, this little narrow strip that we've got between Sultan and Monroe, why don't we just keep and let the people enjoy it? They're going to have a future, what is it called? Anyway, it's a future farming thing at the fairgrounds on Thursday. You know, people are still interested in farming. And there's not everybody has to be a dairy farmer. There's a lot of things you can do besides dairy farming. And it's happening. A lot of little farms. We are producing vegetables, fruit, and things like that. I think we need to save that. I'm opposed to this. Thank you.
The next person that we have signed up to speak is Justin Blasco. Mr. Blasco, will you come forward and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Council, thank you for the opportunity we have to speak today. I'm here with a bunch of my friends that are obviously opposed to this.
We've heard the quantitative analysis, and as you've heard, and as we've heard, the quantitative analysis from the people from the city, everything is scooping. Everything is right in the building. I'm here to talk to you about the qualitative aspects of life in Monroe, and that is why we live where we live. It's for the beauty of this valley. It's for helping our neighbors here in town. And we've heard a number of people today. There's a lot of there's plenty of opportunities for people to open businesses in Monroe. You only need to go to the Frylands, take a look around there. Plenty of opportunities for businesses to move in. We do not need to develop this commercially. Much of the concerns that I have been stated tonight, Highway 2, Justin Glasgow, 29021 State Route 2, Monroe. I have concerns as a commuter coming into Monroe. I work here in Monroe daily. We simply just do not need a big flashy Target sign on the way out of town. That's not what that land is. That's not why we live here. Once again, all of your requirements have been satisfied by the lawyers, the scientists, but there's something to be said about the qualitative nature of Monroe, why we live here, why you moved here, why your neighbors are here, why there's 50 of my friends out there, why we're all here to talk to you today. And we don't need another place to shop. We have plenty of opportunities to shop here in town. The old joke about Fred Meyer, I can get everything I need at Fred Meyer, and if it's not there, it's 200 yards away at the next store. Simply having another store is not going to fix anything. I understand the taxation. As a member of the school district, I understand that that would be good for our base, but it's not good for the people. It's not good for us. It's not why we live in the Skykomish Valley. We live here for the beauty, and this decision that's in front of you today is going to negatively impact the beauty. Is it going to impact the water? No. Is it going to impact the banks? No. We've heard from your scientists. We've heard from your lawyers. But it is going to impact the beauty of where we live. Once again, I'm opposed to this, and I would encourage you all to consider strongly opposing this measure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next person that we have signed up to speak is Misty Blair. Ms. Blair, will you come forward and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
Misty Blair, 15403 Calhoun Road, Monroe. As you all know from reading the documents in front of you, I've provided extensive comments already and have also responded to the extension briefs that we have gone through on this hearing. And I would like to point out just briefly that it seems like we're running up against this December 1st timeline as if that's a hard, steadfast line. And we have already given 3 extensions for this so that this document could be prepared. And the idea that we should shorten the public process and the council's discussion to try to meet this December 1st deadline, it seems kind of ridiculous. It took 15 months for them to draft this document, and we're talking about pushing it through to adoption in just a matter of a couple weeks after the final is being issued. So something to keep in mind. That is not a steadfast deadline. Another extension could be requested and would likely be not be contested by the appellants in that case. The other thing I'd like to say is that a lot of people are here tonight because people care about this, and it's not just the people whose views are going to be impacted. These are citizens from all around. I don't know if you guys can see, but there are people crowded out the door right now. And I've been to a lot of council meetings, and there's not usually anybody here, so please keep that in mind as well. And then on to the details in the FEIS. I would like to point that I keep hearing the proposal and the disturbance area. This is not a project action. This is not a site-specific development proposal. This is a proposal that was put forth to the council to rezone the entire 43 acres. It is not, and that is what the board found, it is not appropriate to limit that development potential to 11 acres and the review in the FEIS to 11 acres. The main thing that keeps coming up to me in what I was hearing tonight, I believe it was Larry from Watershed that
pointed out that compensatory storage, with mitigation, this project would not result in impact. But the city's municipal code, and actually the findings that you guys have prepared as well, address this as it meets the definition of a frequently flooded area. The city's definition actually reads areas of special flood hazard. And it says that it's an area of land in the floodplain within the community subject to a 1% or greater chance of flooding. That's a 100-year floodplain. And then it refers to Chapter 1401, which is the Special Flood Hazard Area Code. And it says that this chapter applies to land in the special flood area within the city's jurisdiction. We're talking about the 100-year flood. And we're talking about it also, 1401.050 addresses that it's the flood insurance study for Snohomish County dated September 16, 2005. According to that map, this property is in the 500-year floodplain, not the 100-year. Compensatory storage is not even a requirement. So we all agree that the property floods. The entire EIS addresses it as if it's in the 100-year floodplain and compensatory storage would be required, and it's not based on your current code. So then we have to go back to all the studies and say, okay, we need to ask Watershed to re-review this and say if it's not in the 100-year floodplain, if it's in the 500-year floodplain and compensatory storage is not required, then would there be an impact? And that's the problem with not having alternatives in your EIS. All three of the alternatives that were presented were for the same development envelope with the same impervious surface area. And the no action alternative, which is supposed to be no action taken by you, which would mean the land would still be in limited open space, you would see development at a limited open space level. What would be reasonable, which is likely a couple of single family homes. That brings up the idea that under that zoning, you wouldn't necessarily need to change the access. You definitely wouldn't necessarily need to bring in utilities. But under any general commercial, you would have to bring in utilities. And so that's an intrinsic impact of the action that you are taking tonight. And so it needs to be reviewed in the EIS. And fortunately, we'll be able to bring that case to the board if you choose to disagree with the public hearing.
Thank you. The next person that we have signed up to speak tonight is Scott Furrer. Mr. Furrer, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
My name is Scott Furrer. I live at 23811 State Route 2 Monroe. And, you know, I could walk over to that wall and beat my head against the wall, and it wouldn't take a brain surgeon to know that would hurt. You can remove the wheels from your car, doesn't take a mechanic to know your car won't move. We were told last week we shouldn't doubt the experts. Well, I live in Washington, have all my life. I've seen stadiums collapse, bridge go underwater. You know, experts, maybe they need to be doubted from time to time. The FEIS on page 42 displays a picture of the worst flood, supposedly, and the property's high and dry. I live a couple miles from it. I know that's not true. You've all seen the pictures that have been presented here of that property totally underwater. Does it flood? I don't know. The emperor doesn't have clothes. Open your eyes. It floods. There's an issue there. But we're being told by the experts it's not an issue. I say doubt the experts. Make them go back and do homework. We were also led to believe last week that if the Planning Commission had the information that Pace gave to you after they had their vote, that maybe they would approve this. If you actually feel that way, send everything back to the Planning Commission. Have them vote again. It doesn't have to be done right away. We've got time. Let's do it right. Let's make it count. You know, we've been told that is all we're really doing here is, you know, turning a spot on the map red. Well, what we're doing is we're creating a pocket of commercial zoning. We're leaving some of the area out. There are two parcels that are owned by other property owners. We're leaving that limited open space. We're taking five parcels and we're turning them general commercial. And then we're leaving everything else around it residential. I don't know, that doesn't sound like good planning to me. It's spot zoning any way you look at it. I think you just need to step back and think about what you're really doing here and who you're doing it for. Are you doing it to benefit one property owner? Or do you really have the people in mind when you're making this decision? I urge you not to approve this amendment, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. The next person that we have signed up to speak is Ron Wirt. Mr. Ron Wirt, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
I'm Ron Wirt. My address is 18104 154th Street Southeast, Monroe. I didn't have any choice to come here to this town in 1967. My dad moved us here. I graduated here in 1974. And I started roofing in January of 1976 for one of the local companies. And so I've seen a lot of change all over the whole Puget Sound, because I did that for 23 years. And I've seen a lot of things happen and transpire here in this valley. I also come from pretty high education. I have a really extremely good vernacular. And so I understand the experts, and I don't doubt them one bit. You know, what I do doubt is if anybody has the use and the ability of these things here, they're centered above your nose, the eyeballs. You know, I've seen water come all the way up to the hospital in the first 100-year flood. I've seen all of this water, all of that ground out there underwater before, too. I mean, some things aren't rocket science, and we don't need rocket science to tell us that it's not a good idea. You know, this is my first time ever coming to a city council meeting. But I saw Kent Valley disappear. I saw the valley disappear between Woodenville and Redmond. You know, when we came over that hill over Snoqualmie Pass, when it was just the one side only, you know, and I-90 hadn't even come all the way through Kittitas Valley yet. Yeah, I'm not freaking old, you know. And I've seen a lot of change throughout the whole state. And my dad said, one of these days, it will be solid houses from Olympia to Bellingham. We're here, my friends, and we have been here for a long time. I'm usually not even on the side of people that are ecologists, you know, the Subaru granolas. I'm not one of them. I'm an old logger. You know, bring those trees down. But somewhere along the line, there's a balance. And I'm here for the balance. We need some balance. But we're not getting it out of this kind of project. Whose hip pocket is it going to benefit? Yours? Mine? Sure as hell isn't going to be mine. We already got enough commercial property out here that hasn't been filled in. And when you can see that that commercial property is going to be filled in, then maybe make a zoning change. I understand all of this. I know how language stitches together. I understand how all of this process works. And I'm glad that we have it. Some things aren't rocket science. Use your eyeballs. Follow your heart once in a while. Keep the wallet out of it. Look at what's going on around you. I remember leaving five chainsaws in the back of my pickup down at the old Candy Cane Drive-In on Friday night and coming back Sunday morning, and they were still there. Imagine that. I don't think you'd do that today. You know, and that's my experience. Not somebody else's, not anybody else's, mine. So, you know, I hope you both know on this, because some things don't need to make change about. You know, I remember going up over Haystack when the spotted owl thing was going on, and this third growth timber, and there's spotted owl, and they say the spotted owls won't live in anything but old growth timber. And I say experts. And I'm looking at it going,
Kurt, what do you think about that? He goes, well, looks like Spotted Owl to me. And I'm going, yeah, looks like one to me too. And you hear what, less than a decade ago, they're living in downtown Everett, right there on the, you know, Hewitt Avenue and those islands of trees? Please, somewhere along the line, you know, we need to do the right thing. And the right thing is not to change the zoning on that piece of property out there. That's, you know, that's my opinion on it. You know, and I'm not denying the experts and that their quality of work that they put into it and their time that they put into it. I'm not saying, I'm not rebuking that at all. Some things just come down to just plain simple being human beings, knowing that the right thing to do is to vote no. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. The next person we have signed to, who signed up to speak is Christian Groeneveld. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Evening, my name is Christian Groeneveld, 29524 from Bluff Road. Dear City of Monroe Council and those of you here tonight, passion and motion draws here tonight as we encourage you once again to oppose the rezoning of the 43 acres on the east side of Monroe. Although some may consider passion and motion non-valid reasons to oppose the rezone of this once agricultural, now fallow land, the emotion for many of us is intense. Legally, there may be no legitimate reason to oppose this rezone, but passion has drawn many locals here tonight. Additionally, many more individuals who could not attend have indicated their passion by adding their signature to a petition that will be brought to you tonight as well. If a person is not passionate about the area in which they live, we need to question this. As leaders in our community, you should be proud to be part of a community that has such immense and intense feelings for the area that we citizens are sacrificing family work and volunteer time on behalf of the community in which we want to live and raise our families. Do you recognize that we citizens have taken up this cause because we want to see in our community, not what we don't want to be in our community? We are not opposed to change. We must encourage and be passionate about change for the right reasons. Change can be and is exciting. However, when we look around the community and see empty commercial areas, we must ask why is money and time being spent to rezone this lot? We have opportunity and potential that is not currently tapped. Why is this rezone so important? Many of us have spoken on behalf of farming, agricultural, land stability issues, wildlife, flooding, and other concerns. However, the crux of this matter comes down to need. Do we need additional commercial land in the city? Furthermore, do we need this land that does not fit the city, which is naturally separated from the city? If you ask this question and look at the passion in this room, the answer should be easy to answer. Although there may be no legal reason not to go forward, you should turn to your community and ask yourselves, what do I see before me? Passion and a commitment to this community and the people here tonight is what you should see. Our challenge to you is to ask yourself if you can display the same degree of passion as you see before you in this room. It is time to stand up and say no to this rezone. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next person we have signed up to speak is Tim Frowning. Mr. Frowning. Is Tim coming forward?
Who are you looking for?
Tim, and it looks like Frowning.
Frowning.
Okay. So I'm understanding from the floor that he left.
I'm reading for Tim Frowning.
Okay, thank you. And please state your name and address for the record. Go ahead.
I'm Jasmine. My address is 227-2300 Street in Monroe. Tim would like you both to say no to the East Monroe rezone. As a fourth generation farmer, his father, and as a father, he asked that you would protect the farmland. And because of this, he, they would like to give their children the opportunity to be involved in the agriculture and ask that you would work with us on the protecting this farmland for the future. And this is on behalf of him and his wife, and they would again ask you to say no to the vote. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person we have signed up to speak is Jackie Lagasse. Can you please come forward and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jackie Lagasse. I live at 24032 153rd Place, Southeast Monroe, 98272. Okay. Like I said last time, I'm a newbie, 3 weeks, so I'm not as emotional as everybody else. I've just seen wetlands be relocated, and that's what they're talking about. But first, I'd like to submit this article from Cairo 7 that...
Please go ahead and hand it over to our clerk. Thank you.
That explains how geo services have been done on Talish Drive on Cougar Mountain, which is sliding currently. So guess what? Expert was wrong, because it was overdeveloped and nobody was a watchdog. So the town has to pick up that on monitoring that hillside right now. So just keep that in mind. I walked around the other day and just listened to what people had to say while other people talked about this project, because I really don't know a lot. So what happened, first of all, I have to address the attorneys. Attorneys, they know the law backwards and forwards, and their job is to tell the best story. Truth has really not much to do with it. It's about storytelling. So let's go there first. Who supervised the build? The city of Issaquah is now involved in this, saving the hillside on their dime. You can sue the developer, but down the road, normally too little too late. Pace has a lien against this property for services rendered. They need this property to sell to recoup the expenses. Pace is one of the companies evaluating the property's viability and making recommendations to the city council. In no way is this an arm's length transaction, which creates bias. I learned most business owners in downtown already feel neglected and not heard by city council. They say the city council does whatever they want, so why does it matter? No one has a voice in this town. You have a deflated infrastructure in the downtown, and that is not a good thing, especially counting the vacancies I see, along with everybody else, obviously. I heard the plan by the council was to support your downtown, maybe get it going. Downtown Snohomish is a bustling hotspot, generating great revenue for the town. This rezone only further disappoints your downtown business sector. Who want to open a small business if they ask shop owners what it's like doing business with the city of Monroe, and the answer is it sucks. Is there no commercial land available? Obviously, we know there is. Because there's a ton of it already. Land that already has access to utilities and in the commercial zone. East Monroe property can in no way make these two claims, and there is no risk factor in those current lands available. The more inventory available, the less your product is worth. By adding another empty piece of commercial land for sale, you actually bring down the value of all others. This is a fact, supply and demand. Council member said the goodwill is near home, so what's the big deal? I think that's comparing apples to oranges. Did the goodwill pose a landslide factor? Built? No. Environmental encroachment? No. Cut off from the established infrastructure? No. Near farms in the scenic byway and not in a dark, treacherous section of Route 2? No. Wetlands. If you are looking to alter the area by making what they call improvements, removing invasive plant life from other things mentioned, in reality, that means they will alter the space. Altering the buffer means changing the flow of the water, so that throws your studies out the window. Once they change a wetland, who will be the watchdog? The plants currently there, they say, are invasive. I have Japanese maples. I don't think they're indigenous to America. So I guess they would be invasive because they're not indigenous and native. Fines are minimal hurdle for developers who disappear in a crisis, especially if they are if they can expand their viable acreage. I have seen this happen. They call it relocating a wetland. Always happens after a zoning change and once large equipment comes in. They will blame human error. They will start saying, oh, we had to fill. Plants were being stabilized after we changed them out and had to put the new ones in, and we had to put all this fill to stabilize the new plant life. And they redirect the water, and then you have a problem. So again, your study is flawed. Okay, certain city council members say we aren't experts. No, we are not experts. We are citizens. We are taxpayers. We are homeowners. We are business owners. And we are what makes this town vital. Yet the council denies the majority in the favor of the minority, a party of one. Why allow critical, unusable wetland to have a zoning change at all? The majority of that land is unusable, so why rezone all of it? Why 3/4 of the parcel that is unusable space change it to commercial? That makes no sense. Cougar Mountain right now, no one developed that land according to the geotech recommendations, and they only assume it wouldn't happen. And just like these guys, we hope it doesn't happen. Okay? So I called the county, and I learned from the County Emergency Management Division of Mitigation that I can go on record saying just because you leave city council or your position, don't think you can't be held responsible for the decisions you make today. They said you can be. It will be like gum on your shoe, especially if something should go wrong and it turns out to be not in the city's best interest, just like what is happening on Cougar Mountain. I say a shady business never yields a sunny life. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person we have signed up to speak is Colleen Magelson, please come forward. And as a reminder, please, no applause from the floor. Go ahead.
You follow me. My name is Colleen Magelson. I live at 109 Rivemont Drive East. We've lived here for 43 years, or maybe more, 1971. I have watched the 100-year floods and come quite a bit more often than 100-year. We've watched the river. We watch it every day rise and fall. When a home was built below us, they, as they were excavating, without digging, I mean, all of these other areas, as they were putting it in, they had to bring in truck after truck after gravel, and then we found that the problem wasn't going to be solved, and they used large cement blocks. Then when that didn't work, they had the engineers come and work on this for the highway department, and they have augers and anchors and one of the most amazing retaining walls by our property where we are, and then down on the front side. I think most of you would know. I understand and feel for those who have property that they want to have the freedom to use. I can understand their viewpoint, and I feel very compassionate. I would just like to go on record as opposing this for so many of the reasons already mentioned by others. We have a chance to create our town. We see the problems. I remember seeing just recently, maybe a year ago, eat butter. Does anyone remember the 70s when that was the worst thing you could do? I have great respect for those that spend time and are experts. But I, like all of you, know the experts are wrong. And we don't have the need for this. And I have seen four different properties that the city has tried to mitigate. One of them is the Calhoun Road that goes down to the highway. That continues to be an issue and has streams running through it. Nothing has been cut into that, and that was one of the things mentioned about the property below. It doesn't need to. My husband and I just, I'm not trying to be emotional, but we just came from the Oso slide, and my son's dental assistant lost her mother and her child. I just think if there is a need, I mean, obviously change will come. I grew up in Bellevue. I understand how we're always doing this paradoxical balance, but there is no need now, and I would like to register my opposition to this at this time. And I thank you for the time.
Thank you. The next person signed up to speak is Brittany Newhurst. Ms. Newhurst, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Carly Ray Maddox, and my address is 13316 Stream Lake Road, Monroe, Washington.
Okay, and have you signed up before we start the timer? Have you already signed up on the sheet? Because okay, go ahead. Thank you.
I know I'm just a kid, and I'm still learning, but I was taught at Monroe High School that I can make a difference in the world. I am in opposition of the rezoning of this property to general commercial. For new drivers like me, I think adding congestion in commercial vehicles on the highway is dangerous, especially a dangerous highway like Highway 2. If this proposal is passed, it will cause more hazardous situations on the road, and these vehicles on the road may even make constant drivers late for work, causing them to sacrifice income and possibly make more cases of road rage arise, putting themselves and others in more dangerous and necessary. It also affects like the ecosystem in the area, and again, a flooded area is just super dangerous. So I'm just opposed.
Thank you very much. The next person signed up to speak is Chuck Maddox. Mr. Maddox, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Hello.
I'm sorry.
Please, that's okay. I'm Cheryl.
Cheryl. Yeah. Thank you, Cheryl.
13316 Chain Lake Road, Monroe, Washington. That was my daughter just a minute ago. And we're just totally opposed to it. That's really pretty much what I'm going to say.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak during the public hearing for this matter? Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Gabriel Robinson, and I currently live at 23103 118th Street, Southeast Monroe, Washington, 98272. So my name is Gabriel Robinson. I am 13 years old. I was born in Monroe, Washington, and I've got to spend more than half of my life on a farm. It's my home away from home. I'm against the rezoning of the East Monroe property because I've been a part of a farm, and it's rare for kids my age to have spent as much time as I have. When I'm on the farm, I get to work with cows, drive tractors, ride horses, get stuck in the mud, play on hay bales, and just experience the outdoors to the fullest. And not many of my friends have experienced what I have on the farm with working with cows and just all the agricultural stuff. And I think if you did rezone this and put a commercial area, it would detract from the center of Monroe and draw people out of Monroe. And we want people to come to Monroe to live and for businesses, because as you have said, it's also dangerous. And if you're driving along the highway, you can see a mall, you can go there and then just turn around and go home and not even enter Monroe. Also, like, why not keep it an open space to rezone maybe to an Ag 10, to keep it an agricultural with to fit the farmland that surrounds it. And I hope that the City Council will look at the best interests of Monroe and not an individual and vote no on the rezone.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak this evening?
Yes.
Okay, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Good evening. Jeff Larson, 24915 153rd Place, Southeast in Monroe. Appreciate the opportunity to chat with you tonight. I come to you to talk to you about this rezone, as I have some concerns about it. I live also along that stretch of road, a little bit further east, but again, seeing the patterns of traffic change over the last 40 years there, it's really quite something. As we all do in Monroe now, we alter our plans based upon the day, the time. If we're going to go through town, getting through town is challenging. We've heard a number of alternatives or situations that come about with additional development, especially commercial, where this property would be extremely challenging. I'd say again, it's just going to have that opportunity to make it even more difficult to go through Monroe. And we've heard also things of the challenges of Highway 2, the safety of Highway 2, all those are well known by all of us. The other aspects of this site and development of this site is the challenging of the soils. The waterways are there, the environmental, it's a tough site. The aspects of how it would be developed, not to see what the plans are, there you have to go most anyway, but there'd be some real changes to that area and some real difficulties in construction, again, with them not knowing. I've heard all kinds of things here just tonight on the unknowns of the property and stuff, and there's some real concerns there. All those set aside, it's, you know, how is Monroe going to grow? I remember discussions about how development can occur north or south of Highway 2. It all needs to be on Highway 2, but there's been a number of tremendous examples of how developments can grow, how communities can grow, and offer different alternatives as opposed to the one straight road. The frontage needs to be on the main road, and because of the location, there's going to be more sight of it, more visibility, and better business. But that's been proven a little bit not incorrect, but there's other alternatives that you can develop. So I encourage you to look at those types of ways that the areas can be developed. That, you know, another zoning effort, another planning effort could be engaged in that area. It's a tremendous wetland area through there. There's farmland through there, and there's a real transition as you leave Monroe. I get to drive it every day, and you go into the agricultural lands. It's farmland, it's river valley land, and it stays pretty much that way too. So pretty much from Woods Creek to the Salt River there, it's farmland. There are more organizations. I had the opportunity to work with Forterra on forest restoration. That Forterra also is involved with farmland preservation and things like that. So there's some other ways of looking at development of planning for the future while retaining what farmland is here. Each valley that is lost, the existing ones or the remaining ones become that much more valuable to the community and the region as a whole. So I'd really encourage you to take a look at the possibilities of working with some other groups, Forterra, certain things like that, that could work on a way to engineer a way to develop or plan for development for the area while retaining the farmland and retaining the wetlands, since that's a tremendous resource that we have within the community. So I just would encourage you to look at different alternatives and ask you to reconsider this vote take more time to look for other alternatives. So appreciate the time to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Who's next? Okay. Please state your name and address for the record.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Robinson, 23103 118th Street, Southeast Monroe, Washington. I've spent many hours and heard countless stories on both sides of the argument before us tonight. A Bible verse comes to mind, 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. Or as often heard, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. It is my understanding that the City Council's job is to study, learn, and represent what is going to be in the best interest of Monroe currently and looking towards the future. It is to represent the community as a whole with wisdom and studious knowledge of the decisions it faces. I strongly ask you to vote no for rezoning a piece of property in East Monroe. While I see no legal reason to say no, there are many ethical reasons to say no. I'm a strong proponent of progress and change and look forward to seeing Monroe grow. But I hope that the council is thoughtful and cautious in what direction it chooses. There is a natural break as you leave Monroe, going from open space to commercial on that piece of property would significantly diminish the beauty that our valley is known for. There also seems to be a vast amount of unused, in some cases dilapidated, commercial property available in Monroe. This is a detractor for the city as a whole. Getting these pieces of property functional seems a much better use of time and space for our community. There is also the growing push for local farming, farm-to-table programs, and decreasing our carbon footprint, none of which will be supported with this rezone. In summary, I hope that you vote no to protect the beauty of our community, enable further local farming and local food-to-table programs to grow and work to utilize the many empty commercial spaces instead of opening more without a need. Thank you for your time and thoughts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Al Lesna, and my address is 16705 Pinnacle Road, Southeast Monroe. I'm not going to take up too much of your time, I know it's getting late, but I actually moved down from a small town up in Alaska, moved to Bellingham, Washington. At the time it was a small town, and I don't know if you have ever been up there or been up the Guide Meridian. It's much like Highway 2. They started building on there, and it just never stopped. And there's been one accident after another. Of course, you have the Canadian market coming down, and it just bottlenecks into a standstill every night. I see that a lot on Highway 2, especially, and I see it turning into the same thing. I'm very much against developing the acreage east of Monroe. Like many have said before, I don't know why, and it doesn't make sense to me why a lot of the businesses here, or the buildings, existing buildings here, aren't filled with businesses. I would also like to encourage you all to think about the future of that highway as far as safety and the children and just the kids that are driving up and down there. You know, we know some of the people have been in horrible accidents there. We always hate to read about that. It happens in every town, but I think right now we have the opportunity to maybe slow that down a little bit instead of speed it up. as far as the amount of accidents that could happen out there. Somebody had stated on how are you going to develop that highway to turn left there right after leaving Monroe and coming up over that hill and into that piece of property where it just doesn't make sense to have any type of development there at all. I've got two kids here, and they drive that piece of property regularly. My oldest one drives it every day. And every day I think about his safety going out there. And for me, you know, peace of mind and quality of life out here, that's why I moved down here from Bellingham. I really don't want to see this happen all over again. I don't have the means to move again. I work in Issaquah. But I chose to live here an hour away, simply just for the simple, you know, quality of life here for my family. It's got a great school system. We don't really need too much more. And that's really about it. Hope you all think about that in the future. And I know a lot of you have kids, not all of you. And, you know, their future and their kids and, you know, what you'd like to leave behind for them and just being, you know, the part of that team that said, yeah, we didn't develop this, and, you know, hey, this is a better place for you all to live. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Lillian Maddox, and my address is 13316 Chain Lake Road, Monroe. I have lived here my whole life. I am studying to be a nurse. Study after study shows that 95% of cancers are caused by environmental factors. And so just two things I would like to present, or two questions I'd like to put in your mind are, if we get rid of all of this farmland, where is the good nutritious food going to come for our families? And what will building and putting new cars on the road do to our air quality? Thank you.
Thank you. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Tanya Boyle, 13144 Bear Mountain Road, Southeast Monroe. And it's already been said, I just want it on record that I'm opposed to this. I think we need to protect our farmland, protect our wetlands, protect the environment that's already here. We have commercial properties available for people, and just keep Monroe rural. Thank you.
Please come forward.
Good evening. Lars Durbin, 933 West Middle Lake Drive, Snohomish, Washington. I'm just here to add my voice to the other voice you've heard tonight, as opposed to this rezone. I hope you guys do the right thing. I appreciate the open space here in the valleys, and I think most of us do. You have one chance to get it right, so don't screw it up. Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak? Please state your name and address for the record.
Hi, I'm Dottie Simone, and it's 26819 Old Owen Road, Monroe. I am opposed to this plan. My daughter and granddaughters live right next to this piece of property, and they're, and as much as I want to go out and visit them, there are days when I decide not to, because that part of the road is too busy and too dangerous. And I think this is a bad move, safety-wise. I take my granddaughters on the walk up behind there, and Calhoun Road has been closed off. If you've never been up there, walk it sometime and see how much that road is caving in. It is not stable. So I'm opposed to this, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
My name is Barb Ayers. I have 25417 138th Street, Monroe. And I'm opposed to this also. I'm a city kid born and bred, and I chose to live out here 27 years ago because I loved the ruralness of it, and like a previous speaker said, the beauty of the valley. And I didn't want Walmart here, let alone I don't think we should move on the other side of town and develop it for all the reasons that everybody else has said. Thank you.
Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
My name is Carrie Schumacher. I reside at 15108 180th Avenue Southeast here in Monroe. I myself, born and raised from Monroe, I've worked almost all of the farmland up and down Highway 2. And I just really ask that you guys take into consideration not only the farms that are there now, but for those of us that look as future farmers to be able to possibly start our own businesses there. As farmland is getting more and more taken up by business,
It makes it very difficult for people like myself who do want to get into agriculture to be able to find a piece of land to do so. I strongly oppose this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Scarborough, you had your hand up.
Good evening. Kirk Scarborough, 127 East, Red Mine Drive, here in Monroe. I was here last week when you made the vote to do it. I'd like to ask, Mr. Goering was quite clear on why he voted for it. Mr. Gamble, you weren't here, so I don't know which way you are on this. Mr. Davis, I've been watching this for as long as I can remember now, but for at least the last 12 weeks, you haven't said anything, and you have voted for it. I'd like to hear the reasons why. Mr. Camp, same thing. I know you voted for it. I haven't really heard the reasons why. Mr. Rasmussen, you voted against it. You were pretty vocal on the why. Patsy was pretty vocal on the why. Kevin, I'd like to hear your reasons why. I'm not sure I haven't heard them, but I'd like to hear you say them. I'd like to think that if we had spent as much money as we spent on this project to make it happen for the East Monroe coming into town, gee, how pretty it would be. If we'd have taken that money and tried to fix the West Monroe entrance that looks pretty bad. The Pan-Alaska building needs to go. We need to do something out there for the western entrance to this city. Why aren't we working on that? Why can't we find a way to help Pastor Minnie build his church on that piece of property? Because he can. Now he's in the corner financially. The city's in the corner financially. And nobody wants to take responsibility for saying, I think we did it wrong. Let's try and do it right. Let's change it and try and do it right. There's got to be a way. Everybody knows where I stand on the issue. I live on the bluff, but I didn't always live on the bluff. I've only been there 2 years. But I've watched it for at least 10. Okay? Mr. Goering said, 13 we voted for it. 14 we voted for it. And here we are again. Nobody said about when Donetta was the mayor and they voted against it. How come we're not talking about 10 years ago when we voted against? A lot of the reasons out here is why these people came and said, we don't want it. We don't need it yet. Let's fill up what we've got. Let's keep the businesses where they are. Let's keep them down here in town. Let's make the downtown grow. And you've heard it all. I would like to hear from all of you why you're voting for it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else? Yes, please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Ashley Sellers, 20930 East Rosemont Drive. Numbers. I like numbers, so let's start there. Tonight, you had 26 people speak that don't live on the bluff. I heard a lot from the opposition, which usually is one person, besides their legal team who's paid to be here, saying people don't want their view messed up. I would like to tell you that 5 people that are presented to you tonight live on that bluff. 5. 26 people that presented to you tonight do not. They are citizens of this town that you represent. I would also like to tell you that we have a petition of 397 people. And let me tell you, it was 3 of us girls on fire for 3 days. And we were able to get 397 people. And other people took petitions from us, but we were on fire. Jen came with me. She's new to town. She came with me. I went downtown. And I have to say, what I was surprised about is the lack of information that people have. I found one business owner that knew about this East Monroe rezone. One. And to me, that's astonishing. So my promise to you here tonight is whether you will represent the people or I will be out. I will be at your meetings. I will be listening, and I will be informing. People have families. Maybe they can't get here. But I went door to door today for 6 hours in pouring rain. Looked like Grim Reaper on people's doorsteps, and I didn't give a damn. I'd also like to address something. You know, everyone says, well, not everyone. Goering, you say it's a change of color. I'd like to say that's hogwash. If it was just a change of color from green to red, who would care? It'd be Christmas all over. But it's not. It's not just a change of color. It's a change of color for this city to make it a commercial property in an area where people on Calhoun and Ridgemont this week got notice that their homes are officially considered agricultural zones. Yeah, we think we should put commercial there in an area that's clearly agricultural. Your challenge that it's a change of color, just a change of color, is true in some facts. It's a change of color from red to green in the church's pocket, because we all know that a commercial property has a much higher price tag than a limited open space property. With that being said, here tonight, you have a lot of people. It's amazing. I wish you guys didn't sit up here and you could see the people out here. Speaking of farmland, and I started to think, what the heck does this farmland have to do with this? That's not what anyone's proposing. Let me answer that question of why farmland is pertinent to this. It's pertinent by changing this from limited open space to commercial. You are raising the price and the value of that property. By doing so, you are limiting the opportunity for somebody to purchase that property and use it for farmland, as has been discussed. We all know that commercial property is worth more. We all know that there's a benefit. Pastor Minnick originally brought this property and planned to change part of it to general commercial so that he could build his church. That's not the plan you have before you tonight. That's not the plan that's been before you for the year and a half I've lived in this town. I want to say that I'm not one for personal attacks, but you know, I've heard a lot of people say there's corruption, there's this, there's that, and I can't get behind it a lot. I'm not a Facebook person. I can't stand it. I think real relationships matter, and Facebook is not for me. But I used somebody's Facebook account this week to stalk, and I was surprised that maybe there is some holding of hands in this council. Because I went on Facebook, and I saw Chad Minnick, and I saw four of you talking about football. If you can tell me that's not a conflict of interest when Mr. Minnick is the representative, I have to disagree with you. I think that's a huge conflict of interest if you're friends with, and also the person we're trying to get in for lobbyist. I want to tell you that, as far as Lamb's Light goes, we heard Geotech today say, of course we're not going to go to 16 people's properties and test. Thank you for that information. I didn't expect you to. What I expected is when you wrote in your EIS report that you weren't allowed access, and having not been allowed access, you weren't fully able to evaluate land site potential, then I expected you to really have asked people for access. And they didn't. They didn't ask people for access, and I turned that into you. And by saying, oh, we'll provide you guys with Geotech contact, it's really kind of a demeaning statement, because we can all figure that out, but they have a liability. What was often failed to mention is that Mr. Berger paid for that retaining wall. Mr. Berger, who was an attorney who knew his legal liability, didn't fight it. When his development started causing a flood, he paid for it. Fast finishing, this is a pivotal time for Monroe, politically, infrastructure-wise, and relations, public relations. Your action as a council will progress this city as one or continue to create divide. Choose to be the agent of change you were elected to be. And I am going to be here, and I'm going to be a part of this with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak tonight? Pastor Minnick, please state your name and address for the record.
Thomas Minnick, 13789 194th Drive Southeast. We've all heard a lot of passion tonight from nice people who live further east and out in unincorporated county. Passionate support for farmers, farms. I'd like to add my voice of support for farmers. I like to eat. Anybody who sees me can tell that's true. But the fact is, this is not agricultural land. This is urban land. It's inside the city limits of Monroe. That was decided a long, long time ago. And so as well-intentioned as those protests are, they're really not relevant to the decision you're making tonight. Very quickly, I'd like to touch upon the issue that was raised two or three times about the safety of the highway. While some folks may not understand this process, you on the council do understand this process, and that is once a particular proposal is brought before you for development. That developer will be required to do traffic mitigation on that highway. And in fact, when that happens, it will actually probably make that stretch of highway safer, not more dangerous, because they will be required to do something, either a roundabout, turn lane or something. And finally, I would just encourage you to see this as I believe it should be, and that is acting upon the completed work of the SEIS. This has been a long process. A lot of work has been put into it, and we would just ask you to vote yes tonight on a comp plan amendment and a rezone so that this information might be taken to the vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Ma'am, did you want to come forward and speak?
Hi, my name is Marlene Roth, 9333 West Meadow Lake Drive, Snohomish. I strongly oppose the rezoning of these 43 acres for the same reason the majority of all of these people out here have previously stated. Thank you.
Thank you. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
My name is Sue Lippincott. I live at 18120 149th Street, Southeastern Monroe. And I'm strongly opposed. I've lived here almost 23 years, and in that time, I've seen the hospital claim eminent domain across my street, and it's going to be a better place to live, have a great park and everything. And now I have a kidney center in my front window. And you didn't see the impact of what it did to our little neighborhood just in town. I can't imagine what it's going to do to the impact on Highway 2 when we now have to commute. I commute out of town to work, but I can only shop in the morning or in the evening just to get through town. Just my 2 cents for it. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak on this matter? Yes, please come forward, state your name and address for the record.
Randy Blair, 328 South Lewis Street. I just want to say again, look at all these people here. We're going to all come in when you vote, so you'll see how many of us are still left. We are the people you represent. We're the taxpayers. Please listen to us. We come in here and we plead before you to listen to us. And I also would like to hear your reasoning for how you're going to vote tonight. I think we deserve to hear that for all the time that we come and spend here. Mr. Camp, in particular, in your recent reelection pamphlets, you stated that you represent us. You said, thank you for trusting you to represent us. Well, and you also said you moved here 20 years ago and found it such a great place to live, raise kids with caring neighbors. Well, we are these caring neighbors, and we want to keep this a good place to raise kids. So I'm going to ask you tonight to prove it. Prove that you represent us. And vote no on East Monroe. This land is valuable as it is, as you've heard from everyone tonight. There is a place for limited open space, and this property fits that exactly. The Growth Management Act does allow for undeveloped land in the urban growth area. The Growth Management Act was created to prevent this exact type of thing. You are misunderstanding that part of it. The GMA actually mandates the protection of critical areas, which this is filled with. Like you've already said, 75% of it should not be developed because of those critical areas. So, again, your job is to represent the people, act on our behalf, and the city's best interest. Listen to us. This is not what we want, and this is not in the city's best interest.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak this evening on this matter? Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Jackson Alesna, and my address is 16705 Pinnacle Road. I'm a student. I'm a college student. I went to high school here. I also work on a farm right on Highway 2. I've always considered myself a little bit of a city kid, even living here. I'm a marketing student. I understand business, you know, progressing in community, moving forward. But I'm youth, you know, so any decisions that we make here in City Hall affect greater, you know, some of your children if you have them, and my peers. And this is something, just from what I understand, is that, you know, the rezoning of commercial, when I look at the valley as, you know, an agricultural area, as it's been said, it doesn't make sense to move in big business or have, you know, the availability for that. But it does make sense dollar-wise. I study, you know, economics, business ethics, all these things. I know how this works, just as many of the business professionals that have spoke tonight understand how it works. And I have to work at 4 o'clock in the morning. But this is something we're passionate about as citizens. So it doesn't make sense for me, for the people to go unheard, for a lot of the positions to be pushed over and over again, the safety on Highway 2, the incompatibility with what we view the environment as. We're not experts, but that's been pushed over and over again. Experts have been wrong in all sorts of fields. So I just wanted to go on record as saying I strongly oppose this. As someone that is of the youth, which you don't have a lot here tonight, but it does affect the youth as well. And this is something that I think we should vote no on. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to come forward to speak? Are you speaking on your behalf this time? Okay. State your name and address for the record.
Jasmine Langan, 22723 100 Street Southeast in Monroe.
Okay.
I strongly oppose this because I am growing up in pretty much what I can call farm. I have friends who live on farms. I have family who's grown up in wooded areas, and I don't see the point in putting in big businesses and putting in something that distracts from where we live, how Monroe put in.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else? Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Vicki Furr, 23811 SR2, Monroe. Thank you, Council, for meeting with all of us tonight. I strongly oppose the rezoning of the East Monroe Comprehensive Plan to general commercial. The current zoning of this property is limited open space, and this truly is the only thing that makes sense out there. It lacks the public resources, it has wetlands, steep slopes, flooding buffers, there's a slough, it is fertile agricultural farmland, and not to mention it's part of the scenic byway. It's surrounded by the residential on the hill and by limited open space and also farmland adjacent to it on Highway 2 heading out towards Sultan. It's not compatible or consistent with any of the other land uses around it. And you've already heard all this. I can go on and on about all the facts, all the figures, and everything that everybody has talked to you with tonight and looked at. Then I could go on and on. But you've heard all this from the opponents over the last 6 years and tonight. I mean, the turnout tonight is amazing. But you've in the past chosen to ignore all these facts and the testimonies from the residents, as well as the recommendation from the Planning Commission, and you continue to vote for the benefit of one landowner. There are so many discrepancies with the studies. I mean, they say it won't flood, but yet you guys have all seen the picture of the land totally underwater. So I don't know. Also, they state there's a 3-foot culvert down there, but it's actually 4-foot. So I know these seem like little simple discrepancies, but it still gives reason to question the reliability and the accuracy of the reports. Does this rezone really benefit all of us, or does it benefit just a single property owner? Or does it benefit the surrounding neighborhoods? A comment was made by a councilman that the general market will decide the commercial zoning if it's appropriate for the property. Well, no, it's our responsibility. It's the Planning Commission's responsibility. It's our responsibility as citizens to give testimony, to look at the information, and it's your job. It's not, we'll do it and then we'll see if it really worked, if someone really moves in there. It's your job to take all of this information in and make an educated decision. I mean, that's why we have zoning, that's why we have codes, that's why we have guidelines, to keep things like this from happening. So can anyone just buy a piece of property and do whatever they want to it with blatant disregard for the neighbors and for the area? Will it impact? Will it have impact on the livelihood of people? And will it have impact on their quality of life? If, quote, nothing is on the table, I just don't get, then why do we want to rezone this? Why does the church want to rezone it? Why are you in favor of rezoning it? I just don't understand. I mean, I really haven't heard any reasons this is a good reason to rezone commercial, because we're going to do this, and the neighbors are going to love it, and the city of Monroe is going to love it, and it's going to benefit all these people that are here tonight. I wish someone would tell me. You know, if it's just for financial gain, if it's not for financial gain, then, and I'm wrong, I'm sorry, then enlighten me. I truly just want to know how it will benefit us as a community. Another comment made by councilman was, all we're doing is changing the color of the map to red. But a statement. We all know that this is a drastic rezone. It's not just moving it up one segment. It's from open space to general commercial. You can't get any more drastic than that. And we all know that this drastic rezone opens up the door for anything commercial. A strip mall, a Target, a wrecking yard. It's not just a simple color the map red. It changes the zoning to general commercial, and it changes the potential use of this property, plain and simple. The council was voted in by the people to represent the people. You need to question whether you are really doing due diligence with your representation. We are having a meeting after 7 days, just eight days short of the required 15. So in the past 6 days, because it took us a day to get organized, we have talked to many, many citizens, as you've heard, and business owners in the Monroe area. Unfortunately, which I thought was unfortunate, many of the business owners were very disheartened about the council, just feeling that their voice never mattered. Another quote that came from many people was just, I thought this land had been laid to rest a year ago. They didn't even realize it was back on the table. And then there was many people who also just wrinkled their nose up at me and said, are you kidding me? This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. So tonight you have a chance to do right. You have a chance to turn things around. You have a chance to make things right. You have a chance to vote for the people and not for a single landowner. We would like to present a petition to you that...
And I do need you to wrap up.
We would like to present a petition to you of almost 400 signatures that are opposed to this. If this petition, along with a good representation of all of the so many citizens of Monroe here tonight, isn't proof that there's many, many, many people opposed to this. If we have the full 15 days and the storm hadn't kept...
And I'm really sorry. I do need to ask you to finish. You can go ahead and give the petition to our clerk, and she'll pass it down the line. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak this evening? Sir, come forward and state your name and address for the record.
This is a letter from someone who couldn't get in from the flood. They came in this morning because they knew they wouldn't be here tonight. So.
Okay. She'll go ahead and open it up and pass it down the line. Thank you. Please go ahead and state your name and address for the record, sir.
Brad Beechino, 22127 Yeager Road, Monroe, Washington. As I'm sure you've noticed, a lot of young people came in today, and I think this is your opportunity to show them that government actually works, or if it just gets flat-handed. These are the people that are going to be forming Monroe for years to come. You have to figure out what kind of message you want to send to them. Beginning of the meeting, everyone stands up and looks at the flag and says, liberty and justice for all. Not for one, for all. You've had more than enough people in here to tell you how the city feels. No one other than Mr. Minnick has come forward thinking it's a good idea. How many people have to come up on their own time before you guys figure it out, it's a bad idea. All the excuses in the world about this big book of information or it's only a color on the map doesn't make it right. You have a chance to man up and do it right. Excuse me, ma'am.
That's okay. I can man up.
Okay, is there anybody else who would like to please come forward and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
My name is Edward Sellers. I live at 20930 East Redmond Drive, Monroe, Washington. So, I assess risk for a living. I do engineering risk assessments, and I know that as part of PACE Engineering's risk assessment, they did a lot of tests. You know, they did a good job of looking at all the factors except for a huge one. They did not look at they did not test the land on the bluff. They didn't look at the likelihood of a landslide happening. Of course, if a landslide were to happen or the severity of it is life-threatening, right? We don't know what the likelihood is. That's why we need to run tests. When I do risk assessments, we have to look at all factors. And I've said this before. And I know that one thing that's been suggested by the council is that as landowners, I live on the bluff, I can pay for a geotech survey to be done. Well, a geotech survey costs about $4,000. My wife and I looked into it. And my understanding is that Pace has geotech engineers who are trained to do this kind of thing. They have the equipment to do it. It's not going to cost them that much. And why don't they just do this? Are they just afraid of what they're going to find? I can't understand why they won't do a test, especially if we are willing as landowners to let them do those tests for free on our land. So that's just that's something that I would really like to be done before a permanent decision is made on this property. Thank you.
All right, is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak on this public hearing? Yes, sir. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Clyde Dillard, 21804 Calumet Road, Monroe. I've been there for 30 years, up on the bluff, overlooking Mr. Menick's wonderful property and appreciating the view. I certainly don't want to see rooftops and lights and whatever down there. I've been to a lot of these meetings for a lot of years. I've seen this council or many times the Planning Commission telling you guys it's a bad idea. So much common sense. I can't understand how they could vote for it, but you do. Again and again and again. You won't listen to common sense. So, if you're going to vote for it again, I again, like other people have asked, I want to know why. I want to know what your reasons are.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak? Okay. Council, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion to close the public hearing from Councilmember Cutterback. I'm sorry. We need to first close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing.
Uh-huh. So moved.
So we're going to go ahead and withdraw.
She did.
Thought that's what you said, but.
Okay, so I'm understanding, Council's understanding that the motion is to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Gehring?
I move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Cutterback to close the public hearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. We are now going to move on to comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. Comments are limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Do we have anybody that signed up for general public comment? Okay, is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak on general public comment?
General, I'm
okay, right. Come forward.
Come on. I just want to bring attention to the railroad tracks right here. I don't know if it's the right form, but whatever. The railroad tracks right here by Grocery Outlet. My husband and I were driving Bible study last week, and there was a car that turned, and I shamefully say I almost did it one day too. That's why I think it's an issue. There was a car that turned before Grocery Outlet because it's very dark right there, and I can see why people think that's a road. And he was stuck on those railroad tracks. His whole frame was balancing on it, and as we all know, trains go through there very often. So I'm just up here suggesting that there be a sign or a caution sign put there or some blinking lights to show that that is not, in fact, a road. It's pretty dark. You guys, the drop downs, there's nothing there to indicate. And that's a big blank space of black, but my husband and I and two other guys lifted that car off. And the cops actually are usually really fast here, but they were not that fast that day because they did not get there. So just an area of concern for your citizens.
Thank you. We'll have staff take a look at it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else for public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to consent. Council, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Councilmember Cutterback?
So moved.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback, a second from Councilmember Hanford to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. We're now moving into unfinished business. Council, without objection, I'd like to go ahead and move AB 15202. That's the second item to the first item, and put the comprehensive plan as the second item. Staff, is there any reason why we can't make that change to put the East Monroe one before the comp plan?
No.
Okay, so Council, is there any objection to making that adjustment? All right, so we're going to go ahead and move into unfinished business item number two. We'll come back to number one. So number two is AB 15-202, ordinance number 015-2015, East Monroe Conference Plan Amendment, ordinance number 016-2015, East Monroe Zoning Map Amendment, first reading. Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, be fairly brief on this. Last week, on November 10th, the City Council directed staff to schedule a public hearing for tonight on the East Monroe Conference Plan Map Amendment and the East Monroe Zoning Map Amendment. You held that public hearing tonight as part of, also on the agenda that night, as part of the direction from the City Council was to prepare ordinances approving the East Monroe Conference Plan Map Amendment and approving the East Monroe Zoning Map Amendment, along with appropriate findings and conclusions to support that particular action. So in your packet, or as part of what you have available tonight, are two ordinances, one dealing with the Comprehensive Plan Map Amendment, the other dealing with the Zoning Map Amendment. Both ordinances would approve the respective land use actions. And also available to you as Exhibit B to each ordinance are findings and conclusions, but they're essentially the same findings and conclusions for each ordinance. So it's the same findings and conclusions supporting the Comprehensive Plan Map Amendment and the same findings and conclusions supporting the rezone ordinance. And let me just, to the extent that the findings and conclusions are about 40 pages, let me just give a very quick synopsis on what's in there. The findings and conclusions that have been developed for tonight are based in part on the 2013 Planning Commission findings and conclusions that the Planning Commission recommended to the City Council back in 2013 for these two particular actions. They're based in part on the 2013 City Council findings that supported the Planning Commission, or supported these. Well, they're based in part on the City Council findings and conclusions back in 2013 that supported the City Council approval of the ordinances back then. And they're also based in part on addressing the key items in the Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement that respond to the Hearings Board order from September of 2014, in which case the two ordinances were invalidated. And you will find in the presentation that I gave during the course of the public hearing, I showed the approval criteria that need to be met for the Comprehensive Plan Amendment, and those approval criteria, there were a series of nine of them, and pages 11 through 43 of the findings and conclusions respond to those particular approval criteria and identify that those approval criteria have been met. And so the ordinances before you for your consideration, ordinance 15-2015 for the Comprehensive Plan Map Amendment and Ordinance 16-2015 for the East Monroe Zoning Map Amendment. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. Our city attorneys.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree wholeheartedly with Mr. Osaki's presentation and content. I would only add for the council's clarification that in addition to analysis of the proposed comprehensive plan and rezone under the existing City of Monroe comprehensive plan, given that the city will be in the very near future adopting a wholesale update in December of the comprehensive plan. The findings before you also include an analysis of the consistency of the East Monroe proposals with the pending comprehensive plan update. And that was a body of analysis that was not before the council, obviously, when it first visited this matter in 2013, because it wasn't relevant then. And that's simply a function of the timing, how close in proximity these two issues are, even though technically it's not necessarily required.
Thank you. All right. Council? Councilmember Guerin.
Thanks. And I just thank you so much for this work. I know a lot of work went into it. All the different staff members, everybody else who was involved in putting this together. I'm very solid. I've been able to get through most of it. I had seen that the new section that was just referenced. Is there anything in that section that you want to highlight? Because it looks, there's the findings and conclusions that we've seen before, because they're from 2013. And then I see the responses in each of the different sections to the things that the Planning Commission had said. The new part is with regard to the new comprehensive plan that we're discussing now. Anything of note there that we need to be aware of, or is it pretty boilerplate with regard to the timing issue that was just mentioned? We're talking about it because we're in the process also of updating comprehensive plan.
Correct. And based on the council action on East Monroe Comprehensive Plan map amendment, obviously we would take that direction and incorporate it into the draft comprehensive plan that's under consideration when it comes forward to you for public hearing in December.
Okay. Excellent. I appreciate it. A couple comments on some of the things that I heard tonight, and thank you for that answer. I really appreciate everybody being here. This is amazing, really, seeing all these faces, and it's pretty public that I've been in support of this, but I just want to make sure that everybody knows that you are, whether or not we agree or whether or not a vote tonight goes the way one person does or doesn't want it, doesn't mean you're not heard, not listened to. Family members agree and family members disagree. And I have friends here tonight. I have kids I've given rides home. I have people that go to church with who are here. And I love this town, and I love the people of this town. And I take what I do seriously. I don't enter into this lightly. But we might disagree on what we think is best for the city of Monroe. Whether or not I'm in favor or opposed to something has no, and I'm not, I will say that I will not apologize for who my friends are. That is absolutely nothing to do with this. I'm a resident and a person, and I have friends, and I make no apologies for that. That has absolutely nothing to do with anything. So, that being said, I really appreciate everything that we've heard. I wrote one of the things that I think I heard the most was about downtown, and then a lot of references to Kent Valley. I used to work at the city of SeaTac, and I saw that get developed as well when I worked there, because we were in that area a lot doing land use inventories. While that was a long time ago, that's the time when all these things were starting to happen there. So I certainly feel that. I come from a farming family myself. My whole family history is farming. My family homesteaded in Kansas in 1874. We came off the boat, and we still, while I live here, I still have wheat farming family in Kansas. That's where I come from. I get it. I get farming, and I get where food comes from, and I love the farmers markets. Whether or not this piece of land turns red or not, and I understand it does change the underlying zoning, but I'm talking about the cumulative effect of what can or can't happen here. There's, at some point, let me say, I really appreciate the respectful nature with which everyone spoke tonight as well. There's a lot of passion. I really appreciate that passion, and I just want to call that out as well. I think that's fantastic, regardless of whether or not we agree. I see this as something that can be truly beneficial to our community. I think having more commercial space in town not only makes Monroe more attractive, it's something that can benefit us economically, which then ends up benefiting everyone. I don't care who owns the land. It doesn't matter who owns the land. It's not about a person. Somebody spoke, made some comments about liberty and justice for all. Liberty and justice for all includes individual landowners. So we Whether or not we agree doesn't mean we're not considering all the facts. Doesn't mean we don't have the best interests of Monroe. I love Monroe, and I want to see the great things about this town made even better. I want to address those things, absolutely. Whether or not we agree, do all family members agree? Of course not. We have family disagreements all the time. There's just no way that that's going to happen. So the fears about farmland, as I see it, there's only one more piece of land to the east that's even in the city limits. Anything beyond that would actually be something that would be controlled by the county. And I don't know who all the property owners are all the way. There's obviously a number of you are here tonight, but I just want to make sure that this is not just a whimsical thing. There's been an amazing amount of public process that's gone on here. It's gone on for a very long time. We might just disagree, and that doesn't mean don't take everything into consideration. I personally think this is not going to negatively affect farmland because there is such a need for it. All the other farms that are still down there, that's not something we're looking to affect. That's not something that there's no intent or negativity. I don't even know the right word to use there. That's just not. There's no harm there as far as a Kent Valley thing. That would be something that the county processes would have to allow commercial development all the way down. So I just don't see. I think that's a very fair and realistic concern based on other areas that we've seen. I don't see that happening here. I truly believe that the comparison between downtown and East Monroe is different. The land uses and the kind of people we would like to see downtown are truly different than what you would see in the East Monroe area. And I would love to get the rest of North Kelsey sold. Absolutely. Boy, would that be great. And we've had some trouble there. But these areas are individual in nature, and I don't believe they compete myself. And again, that's my opinion. So I just want to, I hear all these things, and it's compelling. It really is. And Mr. Minnick's side is also compelling. And so I just want to make sure that your voice is heard. I hear what you're saying, and my mouth is very dry. I think there was another one I wanted to. I'll leave that one there. Again, appreciate the work in this. I know a lot of work went into coming up with these findings and conclusions. And again, I already said thanks for that. So I know some other council members might have some thoughts, and so I will leave it at that for now. Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble?
All right. So, for those, I apologize I was not here last week on vacation with my family, but I did get to listen to everybody's testimony. There's this wonderful thing called tape recorders. We tape all of this. I really do appreciate all the public comment and hearing from everybody. I truly, there's a quote from a movie, and I was trying to remember it when I was sitting here, and it's something to the effect around, you got to celebrate our democracy to the point that you celebrate the fact that somebody will get up and speak or scream or spend a lifetime or all of their money fighting against the very thing that you would do the same thing against, if we truly celebrate our democracy and what this is all about. And it's great, and I would agree wholeheartedly with Councilmember Gehring on the standpoint of the respectful nature of everybody that got up and everything I listened to last week as well. It's no secret for those of you that don't know. I mean, I've voted against this from the onset. I've been on council for over 4 years now. And really, from my perspective, I go back to, as a council where we're supposed to be strategic, we're supposed to be around policy, direction, and I still fail to see where the benefit is to the city. That's the component that I look at. There was a lot of comments that, on both sides actually, that I agreed with completely. Being a business guy, when I hear a statement that frontage road on Highway 2, that's compelling. Absolutely you know, it is. I don't disagree with that statement. But not, I don't see this particular property at this point in time that we need that as a city, for a lot of the reasons that have already been stated. You know, also from the standpoint of, you know, where I do see, I mean, me from, you know, looking at it long term, looking out many years out, if there ever was a bypass made, where they bypass the downtown, then yeah, I may be on the other side of the aisle saying, you know, hey, maybe we should take a look at that, because we are missing out on, you know, on revenue that once came through our town, and we would look at that from a, you know, maybe a rezoning perspective. But I don't see that now. It's not even on the 20-year plan, you know, with the state on the road. So, you know, really taking a look of, okay, hey, we have general commercial property right now, and it's already been stated on several occasions, it's not being utilized. We have property that we are trying to sell. We would not be doing ourselves any favors, you know, as a city and as a council, by creating more general commercial land or more options. This is just really in a vacuum for our own property that we're trying to sell, you know, by doing that. I'm very much a property rights individual, but to me this is not property rights. Property was purchased knowing what the that it was limited open space from the beginning. There is a process to go through, which we're in. It's been extended, and a lot of complaints have been made about those that have risen up to challenge. Well, part of that process is the right to challenge. That's just as much of right as the property owner being able to go forward and say, hey, I would like to have this change from limited open space to general commercial. So with that in mind, and knowing that those are both the rights of all involved, I again default back to what is in the best interest of the city. This is a non-project component. There's nothing in the foreseeable future that we are going to get from a city perspective, revenue-wise and or other. We spent a ton of money on this over the last several years, and I have advocated on several different occasions, and every time we talk about the budget, I will bring up almost on a yearly occasion, have we budgeted the money if we are going to continue to go down this path for East Monroe rezone, because we know it is going to be challenged. That's their right to challenge it because they disagree. I am firmly against. I think we also have a planning commission that has given us their recommendation. We listen to them on a lot of things, actually almost all things, when they bring stuff forward to us. So that's my opinion.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis?
My turn. So, January, I'll be on council for 4 years now. This was one of the first things that came up when I began on council. And we dealt with it then. It took us a while. I did speak about it back then. I haven't spoken much lately, because as I see this is just a continuation of the decision that we made back in 13. It was challenged, and I agree with what was just said. You have the right to challenge that. It's cost us a lot of money. Why? Because somebody exercised their right to challenge, and we've tried to answer the questions that were brought up as honestly as we could. We haven't hidden anything. There are no hidden agendas here. And I kind of bristle at that suggestion at times, because nobody up here is doing anything behind the scenes. We're perfectly upfront with everybody. I appreciate that so many people have come out. That is encouraging. We sit up here Tuesday nights, week after week after week, and we don't see very many people other than staff. So it is encouraging to see that you come out. I'm glad that you're passionate about this issue, and I'm glad that you've spent the time. I would like to challenge you and say, could you do that some more often? Because we do take your feedback. We do listen to you. It does make a difference. And we're here every Tuesday night. Anyways, I did vote for this back in 2013. That was my decision then. There's a lot of reasons. To be honest with you, it was suggested, but we didn't go out asking the applicant to apply for this. The applicant came to us, and we did what we're supposed to do. We processed that application. Now, if there was something illegal that they were doing, that would have stopped. If there's something that would stop that process, it would have stopped, but it hasn't. And that's why it's continued from this to this point. It has been challenged. It did go to the Growth Management Board. They did say they had problems, and they sent it back to us. What's the fix for that? We could either answer the problems, or we could just let it go. We've decided, because the applicant stepped forward and said that they would pay for the money to do that, we decided to go forward with this, and that's what we've done. We're just going through that process, and here we are, ready to finish that process and send it back to the Growth Management Board to see whether they will approve or that they will accept the changes or the further information that has been brought forth. Now, what I've been listening for these last few weeks is a compelling argument why I should change my mind, because I have already made my decision. I did that in 2013. All I've heard is information that supports the decision that I made back then. Nobody's made a compelling argument opposing it other than I don't want it, I don't like it, it doesn't make common sense. It's not a compelling argument. I agree with many of the things that were said. I love that area. I love that view. I've lived out in Gold Bar. I've lived in Sultan. I've driven that highway for many years. I understand what you're talking about. I know what you mean. I have an emotional connection with that also, and I agree with you on many of those points. But I also believe there's one thing different in all the people that oppose that and the applicant. And the applicant in this is not Pastor Minnick. It's Heritage Baptist Fellowship. The difference between all those people that opposed and the applicant is the property owner. They own that property. They bought it. They have a say in what's done. They have a lot more say in what's done with that property than just anybody else or everybody else. It's their property. Trust me, if it was your property, you would understand and you would agree with me. And I'll bet almost everybody in here that opposed that, if it was their property, would have a different point of view. It's Heritage's property. They've applied for this. Everything that the city's asked, they've done way beyond what the normal process is on this. It's been years. It's cost them thousands and thousands of dollars. I'm going to see it through to the finish. If the Growth Management Board sends it back, so be it. But I'm not stopping the process here. I'm going to finish it. I said
how
last.
How much money are you willing to put
toward the order, Mr. Mayor?
There's no comment from the floor at this time.
Some people just don't get it, do they?
Yeah. Councilmember Davis, you still have the floor.
Thank you. Anyways, I will continue, and I will vote for this, and I hope that it goes further, or at least give it the opportunity to go back to the Growth Management Board for final review. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. First, I do want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. It does make a difference, and something to think about is 8 years ago, I think, I started coming to council meetings, and 2 years after that, I decided to run. So some of you think about that for our next election in a couple of years. Last week, I spoke on the record. I gave a detailed explanation of why I voted the way I did, and I am opposed to the comp plan amendment change in the rezone. And just a couple additional comments from my comments last week. I'm not going to get into the data and all that. First, I don't find fault with Heritage Baptist Church for trying to make a profit off their investment. They took a risk when they bought the property at Limited Open Space, and they have a right to try to change it to general commercial, but it is a risk. I don't think it's our job as a council member to ensure that your investment pays off. I also don't find fault with the consultants. They're doing their job. They're gathering the data for their client, Heritage Baptist Church, to try to convince us up here that the rezone is a good idea, that it's feasible. But my main reason for not agreeing with this is it simply does not meet the criteria. The criteria that we're obligated to look at. Two of them, I addressed that last week, but I'm just going to highlight two of the criteria that Mr. Osaki highlighted when he did his presentation. And two criteria that the Planning Commission put in their denial, their recommendation of denial, that they felt the property, the rezone, and the comp plan amendment did not meet. The first one, again, to talk about what I talked about last week, was it does not address needs or changing circumstances of the city as a whole, or resolve inconsistency between the Monroe Comp Plan Amendment and other city plans or ordinances. Changing circumstances of the city have not been addressed by the applicant. There has been insufficient information provided by the applicant as to why the proposed Comp Plan Amendment and Zoning Plan Amendment is needed and why the proposed amendment is being requested. I still believe that any of the information that the consultants gave us did not change that. The second criteria that it clearly does not meet is it is not compatible with the land uses in surrounding neighborhoods if applicable. It's not compatible. You go out to that property, you look at the map, it's surrounded by residential, it's surrounded by rural, it's surrounded by wetlands, it has major critical areas, it has a bluff, it has a hill, there's no commercial around it. It does not make sense. It is not compatible with the area. For those two main reasons, I really urge council to take a look at that and not vote for this. I know there's lots of emotion, there's lots of data, and we are elected up here to look at policy, to look at movement, to how we want envision this city to look like. It does not make sense. I agree with Councilmember Gamble that this really doesn't benefit the city by any means. There's nothing right now, there's no project. We've wasted hundreds of thousands of dollars on this, staff time, 6 years up here. Some of the comments that were addressed that we need more commercial in our area. The airport has been for sale for years. Frontage, Highway 2, perfect place for commercial development. Much better situation than the property over a bluff surrounded by rural, surrounded by neighborhoods. So this property does not make sense to do it, and I really urge council to look at that and not vote for the comp plan amendment in the rezone. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you, Mayor. First, I'd like to move that we extend past 10 o'clock.
Second. Okay, I have a first to move to extend past 10 o'clock, and I have a from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Gehring. Any discussion on the motion to extend past 10 p.m.? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0 to extend past 10 p.m. Councilmember Camp, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mayor. And thank you, everyone, for showing up. It's always, as I've heard up here, it's always encouraging when people get involved. As some of you know, I just came off an election, and going out and meeting with people and finding out what the issues are and talking to them, it is a good thing to know that people are concerned and willing to join in and help govern, because that is what you do with us. I had a prepared statement I was going to read, but and address some of the issues that Councilmember Cutaback had, but I'm not going to. What I am going to keep it brief, because it's late. I agree with everything that Councilmember Davis has said. I think one item or two items I'd like to point out. I started with this in the Planning Commission 6 years ago, and ran into it as an elected official for the last 4 years. my goal from the start has been that everyone has a fair hearing. Everyone gets a chance to be heard. And from tonight, everyone has had a chance to be heard in a great deal of detail. The other thing is, I wanted an answer. I am really tired of hearing about East Monroe. I want it finished. And we have an opportunity here by moving forward, sending it to the Growth Management Board and getting an answer in a few months. And we're done. As far as I'm concerned, we will be done. That's what I would like to see. I would like to continue moving forward, and that's the way I'm going to vote tonight. And finish this one way or another. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Councilmember Rasmussen?
Thank you. Thank you. Again, echo the comments about everyone coming out and whatever we do, crowd. It is great to see and always more fun to hear the different perspectives, because we certainly don't get it every weekend or every week. I guess I'm considered probably the newbie up here with second year, but you know, even before I was up here, I was sitting over there voicing concern about this as well. And the big thing that still comes to mind is, and it was brought up multiple times tonight that I've yet to hear answered, is how does this benefit our community? And it was, yeah, I've heard some allusion, not tonight, but years past, that it's great for Gateway. And, you know, I don't agree with that. And it's the Gateway that was envisioned back in that conversation is certainly not what I, as a Monroe citizen, would envision out there. So, you know, I still struggle trying to find an answer to that question. I mean, that's really what it comes down to me is, when, as a council member, we're here to work with our residents and our citizens, of all of them, regardless of their point of view, and listen to it all and make the best decision for our city. And I struggle with saying going forward with this is the best decision for our city, because I don't believe that be the case. And my vote has, over the course of time, has supported that. So, you know, I'll continue to not vote in favor of this again tonight, primarily for the reason of still not having that question answered, but you know, certainly agree with a lot of the citizen comments that came out here tonight. You know, it did come up a couple times as far as the Planning Commission, if they had this information that we had, and, you know, would they change? And like I said last week, who knows? May or may not have. But, you know, the one thing I'm missing, and I would like to think, that, you know, there was a change of mind, because they're citizens as well, that they would come and voice their opinion on it as well. And I haven't heard that. And so I feel supported in the decision that I'm moving forward with, that the Planning Commission would still keep that same decision that they made before. Just my opinion on that as well. So, but that's all I have for tonight.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. So first, I want to echo what everybody has said already. Whenever we have large groups like this come out, I'm always one of the first ones to say thank you for coming. This is what we want. We want to hear from the public. We want to hear from you on different issues. I think, unfortunately, in hearing a lot of the concerns and things that were brought up from several people tonight, most of those questions or concerns have already been addressed or don't even apply. I think of, you know, your example of the Kent example on how that's county land, and there, I mean, there's just a multitude of concerns that were brought that, in my opinion, do not override or sway me in my decision. I have sat here for 4 years and listened to testimony after testimony, gone through studies, read through the studies, looked at the data, and in my opinion, the applicant has done everything that they've asked, that we've asked of them from the very beginning. And they have they've hired and paid for experts to come and do all the studies that they've done out there to help get the information back so that all the data can be collected and presented. And in my mind, for what the applicant is applying for, the questions have been answered. Going back in time, this was I don't want to go through the entire history, but basically we're here tonight in discussion of the things that the Growth Management Hearing Board decided they needed more information on, they didn't agree with, they wanted more information, they had questions. So we're here to discuss those things. Everything else has already been approved. It's all, everything was, the studies were done, and now all that needs to happen is this information needs to be submitted to the Growth Management Hearing Board, and they will have the final decision. Not us. They have the final decision. It's my understanding that it's not appealable. It's a done deal. And so whatever they decide, that will be the decision. And the applicant has done everything that's been asked. And to Councilmember Davis's point, if I was the landowner, or if you were the landowner, I think most people would agree you'd be in the same position. I'm struggling because I've lived here now for years. I've done as a previous businessman here in town. I've worked with some of you and help you, and I know some of the people that spoke. My kids have grown up with them. I'm not, to Councilmember Gerian's point, unfortunately, we're not all going to agree on different issues, and I want to reiterate what he said, which was that we do appreciate you coming, we do hear you, I was in downtown talking to a business owner this week about it, and yes, he couldn't believe that this is still going on. I thought this was all done a long time ago. And so it is a frustration for many people that this is just continuing on and on. And so by approving these and submitting it to the Growth Management Hearing Board, I believe then they will be able to make the final decision. And we'll be able to move on. It will be done. We'll be done. And so, just a reminder, if and when it ever does happen, and the applicant does apply for a project, there will be incredible studies and all sorts of mitigation and all sorts of things that will have to be done at that time. And so, by voting to approve this tonight, they are not starting construction tomorrow. They are not, it is not just a blank check, go for it, do what you want with that land. There will be all sorts of hoops to go through, and that will be upon them.
and there will be lots of, I'm sure, public comment time at that time as well. So, and that at that time, there will be those much deeper studies that would need to be done once they have an actual project with a specific idea. And so again, I appreciate everyone coming tonight. I appreciate the sharing. I really do, and look forward to getting this taken care of. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I guess the only question I have for us, I know this is, everybody's said their piece now, and it's the first reading. We get to do this all over again on the second reading. Right? The piece that, because we keep, I've heard from a couple council members who say we want to get an answer. I think the piece that, you know, I've always wanted is, you know, look, we're to the point we've had, you know, they need a day in court. They need to have to go through the process. This is the process. We also need to determine as a body, do we want it? Not, I want to get an answer. What do you want? What do we want as a council? And if it's, hey, we want it, I want that to be general commercial, then yeah, absolutely, send it back to the growth management. But if we don't, as a city or as a council, want this, then we have the answer. That's for us to decide, for us to vote, not to send it to a growth management board. It's our city. We make that decision. And I guess that's one component I would like to know, is that, yeah, I mean, is that what we want? Because I don't hear from everyone. I mean, I know from a couple folks that I get it. You know, no, this is what I want. I think this is in the best interests of the city. General commercial. That's different from making a statement of, I want to get an answer. What do we want? That's a big difference.
Thank you. Councilmember Gary?
Thanks. A couple things I just want to follow up on. This issue came up when I was first council member 8 years ago. And just for the record, I actually have changed my mind on this. When this first came up, this was not something that I thought was a good idea. Over the course of time, being here for 8 years, I've seen what could be here, seen us struggle as a city with economic development. I'm seeing the things that could happen. 2007, 2008, this question of whether or not this should even be docketed to go to the Planning Commission. Since then, the benefits that this could have, to me, just outweigh outweigh the concerns. Again, they're very legitimate. If I lived on top of the hill, I would feel the same way. If I lived in the valley, I would feel the same way. I get it. I do get it. At the same time, what I have to evaluate this on, as we've said before, are the facts before us. And the question that is, again and again, is would this be a benefit to the city? I'll say it again. I believe that it is. Additional general commercial makes the city more attractive for investors, for people to come bring their businesses here. Large chunks, regardless if it's 11 acres there or 4 acres over by Lowe's or small places downtown. I'm all about getting redevelopment downtown, but these are separately marketable sections of commercial, all of which are a benefit. One, not just to the city's bottom line, but making the vision that we have for the city of being the adventure starts here. I want to see every storefront downtown filled up, and that can happen. But these are mutually exclusive. We're talking about tying these two things together with North Kelsey, but you know the North Kelsey pieces are again. We've had some offers have fallen off the table. There are things that are happening there, and when you make yourself more attractive, when you say we are open for business, That draws more attention, which ultimately brings more economic development to town, which ultimately benefits everybody in the city limits. And so from that standpoint, I mean, it's the same things that I've said before. I get it. I understand that there are concerns about what could happen. But there isn't even a project here. This is the possibility, just the possibility of something happening there. And I think that can be a good thing. And I don't think... people's fears, while they are valid, because I understand we don't lose some of these things, I just don't think those will come to pass. That's my personal belief on that. So, those are my thoughts on that. There are a bunch of other lights on, but I'll wait to make a motion until other people say their piece. Thanks.
Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Just to address your question there. I was in no way meaning to defer a decision to the Coast Metro Hearing Board. My opinion has been in support of it from the beginning because I think it's a good idea for the city. I've already said that. So I've already voted that way for so long. So I'm not deferring it to the hearing board. I'm saying we've already told them this is what we think, and now we're looking at the data, and we still apparently think that this is okay. And so I think we're doing our job, and then we give them back what they asked for. So just to answer your question.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutback.
Thank you. Attorney Lau, this is a process question. I asked Mr. Osaki a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, what the process would be once we send this back to the Growth Management Board. If they still found it inadequate, would it be appropriate for you to kind of go over what the process would be? Because I heard a couple council members talk and say they want an answer, they want it to be done, it's going to be done once it gets put back to the Growth Management
Council,
Board.
Any legal strategy and legal risk issues really more appropriate for executive session, particularly if you're referring to litigation, which the backdrop to this entire reconsideration process is litigation. But to answer your specific question, as much as I can, the process going forward under the compliance scheduling that was issued by the Growth Management Hearings Board and the most recent compliance extension is for the council to take whatever action it deems needed to reach compliance no later than December 1st. I believe that by December 15th, the city is required to submit a statement of compliance actions taken to the Growth Management Hearings Board with proper service on the original petitioners in the case. That will include an explanation of the city's chosen means of achieving compliance, an attached copy of the legislative documents that the council will have adopted at that point, together with the legislative record underlying them, the EIS and its, or the supplemental EIS and its various iterations, and all public comment. At that point, the petitioners have an opportunity to submit their statements in objection to compliance. I believe that under the current schedule, that's due on the 29th of December. I believe by the January 8th or thereabouts, the city has an opportunity to reply to any of those arguments. And currently, I believe the Growth Board's compliance hearing is scheduled for January 20th, and that can be either telephonic or in person. I don't believe the board has made a determination on that. Apart from that, I wouldn't want to opine in open session regarding what could or could not happen or any particular legalisms implicated by that process.
Anything further? Councilmember, you still have the floor. Okay. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. Yes, I'd like an answer, because the decision was made 2 years ago. This body decided to push forward, and it was appealed to the Growth Management Board, and they found issues. We decided to address the issues, and now we're going to push forward again and get, hopefully, well, I'm a realist. We will get an answer. If we go forward, we will have an answer one way or another. And essentially, I don't know, and barring what other litigation the city attorney doesn't want me to talk about, it will go off into what other area. But at least this piece will be done. And we will have the Growth Management Board telling us their opinion of our decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Garrett.
Thank you. I'm going to move to waive council rules of procedures requiring a second reading on ordinances so we can take final action on this evening. I'd be looking for a second on that motion.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion to waive second reading? Councilmember Gamble.
I would just remind that we've had a long-standing policy on all things as simple down to the smallest of smallest policies to do a first and second reading. So yeah. I don't understand the reason for waiving council procedures, and I will not be voting in favor of waiving a first reading.
Thank you.
It would be going again. I'm not done. Yes.
Sorry. You paused.
Yes, take a breath.
that would be going against a lot of people's principles up here on this that are sitting here. So, thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
I agree with that 100%. There is no rush. We still meet the timeline. And remember, staff came back to us in August and asked for a six-month extension, and council voted only to give them 4 months. And so we have pushed this faster than what staff have asked for. So I think voting tonight to do the first and second would completely go against what we've stood for, and that's unless there's an emergency, we do the first and second. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Agreed. I don't believe that there's an urgent need to waive council rules for the second reading, and I will not be voting in favor of that.
Thank you. Okay. Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. I would like to yield to someone who can give me a compelling reason.
I'm sorry?
Why we want to do this. I would like to yield to someone who can give me a compelling reason to drop the first and second.
Councilmember Gehring, do you want to click your light?
Like to address it?
It's my floor. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you yielding to me?
I'll yield to you.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been here for 8 years, and everyone's said their piece. We have everybody here tonight. Everybody's had a chance to weigh in. There's no sense in dragging this out any further. Absolutely not. It would be a waste of time, quite frankly. And we have waived second readings and first readings many times. Mm-hmm. Many times. To your point, I do understand on large things, many times we don't. That's why I'm asked. It's an up or down vote, voting yes or no on whether or not we waive. And that's what we're doing here. So it's been through the process. Everyone has had a chance. What's going to change between this week and next week? Everybody knows what this is about. Everybody has had a chance. We've all had a chance. There's no reason, in my opinion, to create another.
Thank you.
So yielding back to you.
I'm done.
Councilmember Gamble.
I just want to. Typically, when we waive council procedure on the second reading, it's been because of the time constraint. So let's.
Or a non-issue.
Okay.
Is that all?
Yep.
All right. So we have a motion on the floor to waive the rules of procedure and to allow for a final reading, a second, to waive the rules of procedure anyway. Okay, any other discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, hands up for who is against, please. Okay, so We have four people voting against waiving the rules of procedure. Those four people are Cutterback, Rasmussen, Davis, and Gamble. Okay, Councilmember Gehring.
Very good. And seeing that, I will move to accept as first reading ordinance number 015-2015 relating to comprehensive planning amending the land use designation of certain property located north of US 2 near the eastern city limits, commonly known as East Monroe area, from limited open space to general commercial, adopting supportive findings, setting forth and effectuating the city's compliance approach to the Central Puget Sound Growth Management hearings for determination of invalidity and finding of noncompliance in GPSGMHB case number 14-3-0006C, providing for severability and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Davis. Was there a concern?
Oh, if I could, Mr. Mayor, at the end of the council vote, I'd like to add a few minor points.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion on the motion to accept this as first reading? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Hands up for the against. Okay, so the motion passes 4-3 with Cutterback, Rasmussen, and Gamble voting against. Councilmember Gehring.
I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 016-2015, amending zoning designations in the East Monroe area from limited open space LOS to general commercial GC, setting forth and effectuating the city's compliance approach to the Central Puget Sound Growth Management hearings for determination of invalidity and finding of noncompliance in GPSGMBH case number 14-3-006C, adopting supportive findings, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, those voting against are Cutterback, Rasmussen, and Councilmember Gamble. All right. Mr. Lowell?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Very briefly, Council. The direction at last week's Council meetings, I understood it was for staff to return to you with proposed ordinances and findings to support your decision. The Council has before you tonight copies of the staff's work product. I would urge you to carefully review not only the ordinances but the voluminous findings that staff has prepared in recommendation, because at the end of the day, they will be your findings. And if the Council disagrees with any of the provisions in there, wants to supplement them or add to them in any way, change them, modify them, that is absolutely your right up until the point where you finally adopt the ordinances in question, which in turn will incorporate the findings. So I would really encourage you to carefully review those and come back on the 24th with any suggested revisions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we're now finished with that topic for this evening. We're now moving on to unfinished business. This is item number one. This is AV 15201, discussion 2015 comprehensive plan update. And we'll go ahead and wait for about 60 seconds so that people can leave if they would like to do so.
Your car?
I want my car.
My Christmas car.
I keep sending one to you every week. Are you not getting them?
Good to see you, Mr.
Such a young man. He's a good old boy.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and proceed with the next item under unfinished business. Mr. Osaki, you've got AB 15201.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'm actually thinking about whether to show a PowerPoint presentation or not. So I think the answer is going to be not. So let me go through it this way. The comprehensive plan that you're scheduled for hearing on December 1st has 10 chapters and 8 appendices. Right now, between the information that you've been given tonight and the past two meetings, you have all 10 chapters and you have 7 of the 8 appendices. What you don't have in terms of the appendices is Appendix H, which is the stormwater plan, the water plan, and the sewer plan. And that appendix by itself is almost 1,000 pages. And when I believe the city initiated this process in April, you all received a copy of the comprehensive plan, and I'm pretty sure you received that appendix. It might have been numbered differently, but Appendix H has not changed since then. So if you want a copy still, let staff know, we'll get your copy before next week. But if you still have your previous copy or can work off the internet and the web copy, that would be great. Director Farrell and I were going to talk a little bit about the Parks Recreation Plan tonight. We're going to take a chance and hope that maybe next week's council meeting is a little briefer and we'll be able to spend a little bit of time to talk about Parks and Recreation, Global Service, Parks Need, Trails Need, and what some of the projects will be over the course of the next 6 years and some of the funding sources for Parks and Recreation. But outside of that, the Parks Plan is an appendix, I believe it's Appendix F to the Comprehensive Plan. There's a Parks and Recreation chapter that I believe is, I guess, Chapter 7. And there, those two documents I think we want to spend a little bit of time on before the public hearing, if only because the Planning Commission deferred a lot to the work of the Parks Board on both of those documents. So the Planning Commission certainly looked at them, but they didn't change many of the policies in Texas as much as they did the other elements. And so that concludes my presentation tonight. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead. Thank you very much, Mr. Osaki. We're going to go ahead and move on to Councilmember reports. Councilmember Gary. Councilmember reports.
Oh, Councilmember reports. The Monroe Bearcat volleyball, amazing time. They went to first time in 3 years. They won their first match, but they lost their next two matches, getting eliminated. I believe that means they finished ninth. But what an amazing time! What a great fun event! What a positive thing for the ladies in our community. Just awesome to watch the girls play together. Great for the high school. Great for athletic programs. My wife and daughter got to go. I was really excited. There was even an online version of it. Got to watch online. It was just a lot of fun. And also had many of the awards banquets for the different school activities. The different fall sports were just, we just had those. I watched my son get a varsity letter for cross country. He's very excited about that again. Just a great sport. I was at a thinner time about 50 pounds ago. I ran cross country myself, and it's fun to watch him do it as well and have a great time. But a program that's grown here in Monroe from 15 kids in 2010 to over 40 kids this year, about 5 years later. Just a blast to watch our student athletes. I take that seriously, and kids that get involved in sports like that, it just is so many benefits other areas in life. I highly want to encourage it, and I just think it's a blast. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yes, back a couple weeks of vacation there with the family. Man, a lot of stuff happened while I was gone. First and foremost, I want to thank the YMCA having my daughter come and sing the Star Spangled Banner downtown. She thoroughly enjoyed that, and my wife and the family had a great time at the event, so that was great. Football came to an end while I was out. I don't know. I think it's going to be in the official paper of the city of Monroe. I don't know. She's not listening. She's talking in the back. But I think it's going to be in the official paper for the city of Monroe that the 89er Bearcat Black football team won back-to-back championships. It's the first time that's ever been done. That was a ton of fun that happened here just a couple weeks ago, and so that was a ton of fun. And then we've got a lot of the pipeline is in place and the program's in place. It's just really fun to see. The volleyball thing, I was going to bring that up because my sister, who's the head coach of Charles Wright Academy, took sixth place in the state tournament, coach of the year. But anyway, I also wanted to congratulate, because we did have an election, Mr. Camp, Mr. Davis, and Mr. Scarborough on being elected.
And you, Councilmember Davis.
That was cool.
Yeah, and you.
Thanks.
Nothing to report tonight. Thank you.
Councilmember Camp.
Reciprocate to Mr. Gamble. Congratulations on your election. The mayor and I attended the SCC dinner.
Snohomish County Cities.
Snohomish County Cities. And I'm sure you're going to speak to that, so that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Asmussen.
Thank you. Black football season's done. Coaching one team is a blast. Coaching two teams is twice as much fun.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, it was great. But glad it's over. Get a couple weeks off, and then we're into basketball. Other than that, reminder to everyone that this is Police and Fire Appreciation Week, and as the mayor proclaimed today, so looking forward to the festivities throughout the week. And I know many of our youth at some of our organizations are heavily involved with it as well, so looking forward to it.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Nothing except police and fire appreciation. Really thank them for all they do. Delivered dinner to the police station, the fire station last night, and guys were very appreciative. But thank you for all you do. You do a lot for the community. So.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, I did it to what Councilmember Gutadak said. Very much appreciate the services that we get in the city. So,
thank you. Thank you. Staff, how are things going, Mike?
Pretty good, thank you, Mayor. over the last couple of weeks, we've had a couple of moderate flooding events. We had to close portions of Skyward Park and Elborland Park. And right now, we're experiencing something a bit more than moderate. So we really won't know the extent of it probably until tomorrow, but Elborland Park and Skyward Park are closed currently. Flooding the river, so that we'll dig into any sort of repairs.
Okay. Yeah, and with that said, Brad's not out there right now. We'll go ahead and read this. We got notice in the middle of the public hearing that police a couple hours ago were notifying residents of the Terrace Street Apartments to relocate vehicles because water was entering the parking lot. And then the Eagle Park caretaker residence is surrounded by water. And then they've also followed up with the Monroe Motel as of a couple hours ago about possible flooding. So we've got flooding that's occurring right now around town. Anything further? Deputy Chief Kennard?
Nothing. We just got back from Montana. I spent a week over there, enjoyed myself. And as Mike said, the wind's blowing. It's been an extremely busy day today with the wind that's blowing.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring has a question.
I just wanted to ask a question about the PD. I'd heard that, tragically, that somebody was killed by a falling tree out on Ben Howard. I know that's not in the city limits. I didn't know if any of our police officers had responded, or I don't know if that's in our fire district or if that's in the next fire district further down.
We responded up to the area to help the county with some down trees in the roadways. We did not respond to that collision. A lot of fallen trees up on Ben Howard, as well as
I appreciate everything that our police and fire did, and just my prayers to that family at the holidays. Just what a terrible thing to have happen. So certainly sorry for them. So thank you.
Thank you. Melissa, do you have anything? Okay. Dave, Mr. Osaki? Okay. And Ms. Nelson?
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Ms. Smoot, do you have anything?
No, I'm great.
Okay. Is there anything coming up? We don't have anything with SCC.
Great. No. SCC is on break. There's no December meeting. That's just a reminder. But in January, their meeting in January is elections. And yep. I sent a couple emails about their open positions on the SCC. So if anyone is interested in putting their name in the hat for those SCC elections, you might want to go back and see those emails and let me know.
Yeah. So it's really important for us to have a voice on a regional level, and I am going to be encouraging folks to attend the Snohomish County City's meetings. Certainly for the one in January, I would like folks to attend those meetings. All right. Let's hop up here. Oh, Councilmember Camp.
Well, I was just going to say that it really is a good opportunity to meet people and meet some of the other electeds and find out what's going on.
Yep. Agreed.
Plug. I'm done. Good
Thank
play.
You. Okay. So I'm just going to run through a couple things. So we've got Monroe this week in there. You can see that I've been making a push for people to donate things to our local charities, and we've kind of plugging the Sky Valley Food Bank. Cold Weather Shelter was having some issues with funding. Take the next step, and of course we've got other charities, but I have put myself out there to invite folks if they want to do a pledge that I would be willing to go and swim at the YMCA pool on a per length basis, and whether it's a quarter a length or a buck a length, that I'm hoping that
will you be like wearing manacles or anything?
No, I'll just be swimming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, just swimming. So I don't know if anybody's going to take advantage of that offer, but I have put that offer out there to try to encourage people to donate money, and certainly just simply donating money to those organizations is really the key. We also have a couple other things. We had a question about the Salvation Army Dropbox you'll see in Monroe this week. And that question came from Facebook. I went ahead and put that out back on Facebook. And then what that is, a Salvation Army donation box. It's on your utility bill. Go ahead and check that off, and you can send money that goes to the Salvation Army specifically to help out people with their utility bills. So you'll see that in there. Those of us that pay those online, I don't know if there's a way for us to donate. I know that you can make a donation to other organizations like the food bank for utilities and things like that, and probably directly to the Salvation Army.
Yeah, you can't do it online for your utility bill.
Yeah. So if you've got any questions on that, let us know. The other thing, Sunday this week, I attended the Pathways to Peace up at the mosque. Pastor Hanford was there to speak. We had somebody from the Sikh community there, a rabbi. Pastor Hanford, the imam. It was a really great opportunity to hear the different religious traditions talking about how there are commonalities about peace and about loving your neighbor and so on. But there were probably about 60 or 70 people there. Great food, great fellowship, and so that was something I attended on Sunday. We also last night, so we attended the Somers County Cities meeting last Thursday. We had a presentation on economic development from the Snohomish County Economic Development Director, and then also there was an organization that got up to talk that's affiliated with Edmonds Community College, and there was an ask for money, but they didn't. I'm expecting more information on that, so I'm not going to make an ask of the council for money for an outside organization until I have something in writing and more information than a pitch at Snohomish County Cities. So we'll see what comes from that. On Saturday, I met with Mayor Eslick, talking with her about 522, there was the Street Smarts article that came out. I trust everybody saw that in their email, where they're talking about the 522 being a I want to say lost cause. What did they say? Long shot. Yeah, they refer to it as a long shot. I don't accept that. I sent out a letter on Friday with the resolutions and everything that have been adopted by different organizations and agencies, also a letter from PD and a letter from Chief Silva. That packet went to Pearson, Christensen, Scott, and also to Del Bene, recognizing that maybe Congresswoman Del Bene might have the ability to help explain the concern that we have across the aisle down in Olympia. So I then saw Del Bene's representative at the Pathways to Peace and talked to him about that again while we were there, and I'll be meeting with her on Friday with Senator Pearson as well. I think that's enough for now. Just been very busy doing a lot of stuff, and if you've ever got any questions about any of that, please let me know. I'd be happy to follow up with you on those items. So let's go ahead and throw things over to Gene. Gene, you're up.
Thank you very much. Draft agenda for November 24th, 2015.
Yeah.
Consent agenda. Under unfinished business, we have discussion of 2015 conference plan update. We'll be discussing the solid waste contract. That's the survey results. Under new business, we have lobby firm selection. And then ordinance amending water regulations.
Mr. Mayor.
Sewer regulations.
Yeah. I'm sorry, were we going to get a phone check? I'm sorry.
References.
References, thank you.
For the lobbyists.
For the lobbyists. I'm sorry.
I was working on that front.
Oh, okay. I thought we were getting them this week. Never mind.
Half day or two.
Great call list.
I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
And then ordinance amending the transportation impact fees. First reading. Under final action, a resolution establishing parking restrictions. Ordinance in regards to East Monroe Comprehensive Plan update. Or amendment, excuse me. That's a final reading.
And please note that there's the Select Board of Health representative. If any of you would like to serve on the Board of Health, please let me know, and we can offer a counterproposal on who that representative would be. One of the things that we did learn at Snohomish County Cities is that the Health Board just voted to ban vaping, or rather to treat it in the same way that cigarettes yeah. are treated. So. That's one of those.
My friend Councilmember Lowe from Lake Stevens was involved. I think he's their.
he's their chair.
He's their chair.
Okay. So that's one of those things that if you had input on those sorts of things, those they can affect us here. So if you're interested in serving on that, let me know and I will reach out to Mayor Guzak and let her know that there's an alternate that's interested in serving. Go ahead.
So I have on the
extended
agenda. Mm-hmm. I will be out next week.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Everybody else. I'll be in the woods.
Nothing
in the woods.
Nice.
Easter one.
Yeah.
All right. So, not having any other business this evening, is there a motion to adjourn?
So
Councilmember Gearing.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Camp to adjourn, a second from Councilmember Gearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much for your service. Have a great evening.
All right.